When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
The best show back on a Tuesday evening. My name is Tom Sharp, like I'm the host of the best show. And I am here with you, my best show friends, till midnight, doing it live. Maybe you're listening to this 150 years from now on a podcast, or whatever the technology may be in the future. Some sort of communal brain that we all tap into. Not we. Not me, man. I'll be gone by then. But whether you're listening in 2016 or 7,358, I welcome you. And we have a fun show for you tonight. The phone number, 201-332-3484, 201-332-3484. And tonight we're talking about a variety of things. We'll be discussing those things that you used to be able to do or know, and then you kind of can't remember or do them anymore. And the hashtag is Tom Duh, D-U-H, T-O-M-D-U-H. And we have Gonerfest tickets to give away. This weekend, Gonerfest in Memphis. I've got a pair of deluxe special gold circle tickets to give away to whoever is A, going to be in the Memphis area or go to Gonerfest to use this pair of tickets. But I will give them to whoever has the dumbest story that makes me laugh and who's going to use these tickets. So Memphis people, get on it. 201-332-3484. Because now I tell you that the best show is underway in 5, 4, 3.
Jersey, back again.
How about that? The best show back here with you on a Tuesday night. Again, my name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show for the time being. Until the word comes down when I've been canned. Which I expect to come shortly. I'm hearing rumblings from upstairs. The fancy pants is upstairs. What if I turned it into a thing? I'm actually railing about corporate overlords that don't even exist. And there's the crack of the Coors Light can. Mike's back in business. And you can hear it. It's like old Casey swinging through there, right? He's like the Dave Kingman of Coors Light. Actually, Dave Kingman might have been the Dave Kingman of Coors Light. I don't know. Those ball players back then, oh boy, they had a good time. Back then, a book I just read was the Joe Pepitone book. It's so good. That's that guy. I don't know if that was as much of a good time back then as much as he was tortured by his own addiction to his own sex addiction. Joe Pepitone. It's a good book, though. It's back in print. It's called, I believe, Joe, You Could Have Made Us Proud. From 1974. My friends, that does not matter. Joe Pepitone is not the issue of the evening. Tonight, we talk about the things that we've done that are dumb. That we used to be able to do, and now we're struggling with, or we can't remember it. Let's talk about those things. And again, the best example gets two tickets to Gonerfest, which is taking place this weekend in Memphis, and I'll be there. I can't wait. It's one of my favorite things to do is Gonerfest. Oh my goodness. And the lineup this year. Raining Sound. How about that? The original lineup, I believe. Who else is at this thing? The Black Lips. Kid Congo. Fred and Tootie. Me! I'll be there. I'll be emceeing on the Saturday night. What a fun night that's going to be. Midnight Snacks are playing that night. Who else is at this thing? Oh, my God. Aquarian Blood. Useless Eaters. It's just that the Knots are playing. Knots are so good. Jim Dandy is emceeing one of the nights. Remember him, Mike? From Black Oak, Arkansas? Yeah. He's emceeing one of the nights. Which record? Mike's bragging that he bought a Black Oak, Arkansas record. It's one of the first records he bought. I don't know who you're looking to pat you on the back. We'll have a guest later in the show also. Mike will be in with a friend of his who's very interesting. What is his name? Jim Murphy. Mike will be in with Jim Murphy. He's the photographer. He's got a lot of cool photos and cool stories. We'll talk to him later. Music, we just heard White Mystery from their album, Out of Control, new album. Sounds a little, they're cracking their sound open. I love it. White Mystery, that's a song called Alien Vision Bomb, and it's on their album, Out of Control, which came out this year. And you go to whitemystery.com for info on White Mystery. And just remember these Gonerfest tickets. I want sad stories. Or I won't give them away. I'm telling you, I'm not just giving them away to like, it's not like I have to give them away. I'll scrap these things, man. I'll scrap them. Maybe I'll scalp them. I'll be outside Gonerfest. How tacky would that be? Scalping tickets that Goner was donating for the listeners of this show. I'm out front. Tickets. Who needs tickets? Tickets. Now, when they say when they're saying who's got tickets, what are they still? They're still flipping tickets at the last minute when you go to a thing. They're like tickets. So they're still buying as well as selling. It's a risky game, man. I scalped once. One time, Mike. You want to hear that story? You got to read my book. That's where you'll get that story. Maybe I'll just write a book. I'll start pulling stories back to put in the book. I might just start doing it. I got to write a book. I read some of these dud books that these people write. It's sleepwalking through them. These snoozy memoirs. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen put his out today. His memoir. Where I guess he talks about, is he talking about the French fry machine at Stone Pony? I don't know. I don't know about that book. He has a blabber mouth. Probably only takes you up to when he was 8. It's a 600-page book.
Well, you know, I remember I was 7 years old and I was watching Ed Sullivan. And a lot of times bands would be on that show and there'd be people you wouldn't have anything in common with, like Topo Gigio would be on there. And Senor Wences. And I remember I saw Roy Orbison on there.
It's like, I'll say this, first of all, I lived in New Jersey my whole life. I don't know where that accent came from. What is that? What, do you get blown in on the Dust Bowl? Right? That was 45 minutes from where I grew up. He's talking like he's riding the rails.
And then I saw Ricky Nelson, The End, to be continued in book number 2, which is 1,100 pages and takes me up to the time when I bought my first 45.
Oh, the number that did on my... Oh. My voice, I think I'm shot for the night. You gotta love the guy if you're from New Jersey, just because he's also from where you're from, right? But, I don't know, man. Was he gonna talk about Cowboy Rick or whatever that thing was he did? I don't know. Is there going to be an audiobook on it? Yeah, no, that's not what I was asking. Always Mike with the... Yeah. First of all, the phone... I can't believe there's one line lit. What a disgrace. And I'm terrified for who this is. Because it was one of those calls that came in way before the show started. I can feel the energy coming from that call just based on when I saw it come in. Yeah, so call in 201-332-3484. And talk about your failed stories and what Nazis. I don't want to talk about Nazis. Here we go. Best show.
Here come Tom, the best show. The show's on the air. Mike is right beside him. He's always there. How you doing, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing great. Who's this?
This is Mr. Avalanche Bob.
Oh my goodness, Avalanche Bob, the pioneer of country yodel skid rock.
Yeah, right now it's yodel and punk. But in the past, it was rockabilly yodel. And I got my first record here. It's the beginning, 1959. It's called The Rockabilly Yodel. It was released on Cool Records in Harrison, New Jersey.
Wait, what year did your first record come out?
Rockabilly Yodel, 1959.
You put a record out in 1959.
Yes, I did.
And it's called
Harrison, New Jersey. My manager was Jim Small, one of the biggest country managers at that time. And everything had started with me, and then everything got messed up. And then my career really stopped for a while because I had to take care of my sick sister. But I got back on the road again, and I have created, the snowboard yodeling.
Yeah.
And a new album will be out, and you're really going to love it, Tom. We've got a lot of beautiful songs on there. The rockabilly, snowboard songs, and a lot of deep songs, you know?
I can't wait to hear it. I've heard so many good things about this record from you.
Hey,
go ahead.
Tom, would you like to hear the rockabilly yodel?
Would I like to hear the rockabilly yodel?
The record?
Sure. Let's hear it.
Okay, now if you don't like it, just stop it. I wouldn't be hurt because maybe it's not your kind of music,
look,
you know?
Before you play it, Avalanche Bob, you play it, have you heard about AP Mike, this apmike.bandcamp.com? It's sickening, right? The state of affairs.
I think so, yeah.
Would you do a song called apmike.bandcamp.com?
Make up a song?
It's this guy who works on the show. I use work.
Agent Mike, right?
Very, very loosely. I use work. He's pretty much.
You want me to write a song about him?
I want you to write a song where it's like, where you just say apmike.bandcamp.com.
AgentMikeStand.com.
No.
Right?
No. AP Mike. AP.
AG Mike.
The letter A.
A.
The letter P, as in, please, please, please. You know, please, the P, A-P, Mike.
A-P, right.
A-P, Mike. Dot.
A-P, Mike.
Dot.
Dot com.
No. A-P, Mike, dot, Bandcamp.
A-P, Mike.
Dot, Bandcamp, dot com.
Dot, Bandcamp, yeah.
Dot
I got
com.
It.
All right.
APMike.bandcamp, right. You want me to write a song for him?
Sure. Do you think you could work that into one of your yodels?
I'll work it in there. I'll write it for next week, okay?
Okay. Great. Next week. So let's hear.
You want me to do it now?
No. Let's hear the record, the original record.
Okay.
I want to hear this. Here it
is. This is my first record.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Slice of history.
Hold on a minute. I got to get it warmed up.
I'm ready. Warmed up. What are you playing it on a hot plate?
Baba lay, oh, we baba lay, yeah. Get to the rockabilly, yodel and Don is way. my buddy heard it twice by night. Man, that cat got a real delight. He's got a rock in his soul to say. There's something to the break of day. Well, they're moving it, grooving it all night long. Oh, Jack, he's swinging to a yodel and a song. Hey! When my gal heard me say, let's go, son. We're gonna go and have some fun. Down with the youth, I'm down and away. For me, Uncle Baby, we rocked all the day. To the rockabilly yodel, it's great and down. It's the rockabilly yodel and where's the rap? Bumma dee lay, go lay, yeah. Bumma dee lay, go lay, yeah. Be bumma lay, oh, be bumma lay, yeah. It's the rockabilly yodel and on its way. Now you've heard my story and you've heard my song. So find it, direction and move it along. Against your baby, I'll fall tonight. Come on, Lord, be a flying rock. They're rocking it, rolling it, wherever you go. The rockabilly yodel and bang, you know. And bumma dee lay, go lay, yeah. Bumma dee lay, go lay, yeah. Bumma dee lay, go lay, yeah. Bumma dee lay, go lay.
You like it?
I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I love it! I love it! I love it! That's a great record. 1959.
Yeah, Harrison, New Jersey. My manager was Jim Small. He managed a lot of great country singers. And I know what happened to him. He probably passed away by now. I think he was about 40, 50, 60, something by then. That was my first one, and it was from, you know, it didn't get too much airplay, but now it's selling for $200 on Amazon, so.
Sure. Wow. And
who knows? Maybe it's Lord from the Bath will get it at something today.
So who were some of the other acts you played with back then, Avalanche, Bob?
His name was George Quarter Jr.
Who are some of the...
All the cool records. You can check out all the cool records on...
Did you play with any big acts back then on any bills that had...
I played with some singers back then, and Marvin Rainwater, people like that. There was some others, there was, maybe a show with Hank... I think Hank Snow was back then, and some people like that. Like, you really can't remember. I did some shows in Harrison, New Jersey, and then I went back to my hometown, and for a while I stayed in my hometown, and I came to New York, and it's a long, hard story. I came from New York with a guy named Jimmy D. We were managed by Donna Washington. I was singing in the mountains. I came with a group named the Fireflies. I suppose you've heard of the Fireflies, right?
I've heard it, yes. Of course, the
Fireflies. Yeah, so... It's all, up until the past is gone and the future, all I worry about is the future. I don't care about the past. I'm just trying to make this world a little better with my music and not financial. God didn't put me that for this. God put me for the music. And so if I make money, great. Yeah, that's the way I feel, Tom. And
wow,
I love you for everything you've done for me. You and Kid Chris are some of the biggest. Do you know who Kid Chris is?
Kid Chris.
Yes, Cincinnati.
No, I have no idea who Kid Chris is.
Yeah, he's a pretty big DJ,
That big. I didn't hear. I'm not.
And, so listen, Tom, I'm glad you liked it.
Well, Avalanche Bob, you
And you want me to write a song,
apmike.bandcamp.com.
apmike.bandcamp.com, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, man, I'll do that.
All right. We will talk to you.
Oh, listen, man, you keep rocking. You're the best. You know that?
You keep rocking. You're the best. And
yeah,
the
album is going to be done by the end of October, and I've got a lot of different things on there. A reboot of my Jingle Bell Yodel, which was going to be great. We've done it over.
I'm ready.
And I think you're going to like it.
I'm ready.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much for everything you've done. And for everybody that don't like me, I love them anyway.
Well, yeah, that's all you can't worry about, the people
that
don't worry about that. You got enough
God
people in your
them.
Corner. Exactly. God, but you got enough people in your corner. What are you going to worry? You
got
to win everybody
I've got
over?
Yeah, quite a few fans. My music's starting to build, and I think it's going to be really big, and I think we're going to do good things, and I think we're going to have an exciting year, and I'm not worried about politicians or anything else.
No, I'm worried about. I'm going to send this guy, AP Mike, down to meet you, And it just
yeah, I think we're going to do a Halloween show at a bar, maybe, for my friend. Just a special show for him. So I'll let you know, okay, Tom?
Sounds good. You take care.
Love you, man. You're the best. Take care.
You're the best. Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nice guy. Guy wins me over. I tell you, he told the story. He melted my heart. You did it, Avalanche Bob. Now I can't. This guy was on some thin ice. And he told the story. What am I gonna give him the kibosh now? Nah, he's in for the long haul. But I'm going to send Mike. I'm going to send Mike and Dudio to hang out with Avalanche Bob and report back. All right, Mike? I'm going to give him your home address. You mind? Do you want to put your... You should just... It's probably time to give your address and phone number on the show, right? I'm kidding. Can you imagine? Oh, could you imagine, Mike? No, Avalanche Bob, you did it. Back in your corner, buddy. Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Brent from New Jersey.
Brent?
Yep.
Where are you calling from, Brent? Where in New
Hello?
Jersey? Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, sorry.
Go ahead, Brent. What's up?
Hey, so my story kind of interlaces with another thing I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm probably pestering you the past couple weeks on Twitter, trying to get you to come to a Diarrhea Planet show in the city.
Oh, yeah, you've been bothering me on Twitter, trying to get me to go see Diarrhea Planet. Like,
you haven't
look,
put any...
Look,
any thought into that so far now?
Look, I think they're good. I like everything I've heard by them. But that name, can't get past the name.
Oh, I mean, I know, but once you go, I mean, it's like a church, it's a religion.
Good. Look, they sound great. The name, though, it stops me. Who's that? Who's yelling? Who is that?
Sorry, I'm on a train right now.
You're on a train?
Yep.
Where are you taking the train? You're not on a train.
I am on the train.
What train?
I'm from work.
What train? What train?
Jersey Transit.
Goodbye. I'm done with you. You're bugging me. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. To whom am I speaking?
This is Will in Knoxville.
Will in Knoxville. What's up in Knoxville tonight, Will?
Oh, just having some beers, relaxing, listening to the best show.
You're going to try to win those tickets. Hey. You're going to try to win those tickets, aren't you?
Oh, I came in late. What tickets?
For Goner Fest.
Oh, man, I was supposed to go, and I couldn't get off work, mm-hmm. and... My band was even going to play at like one of those after party shows, and it was all booked up and couldn't get off work, and so we had to cancel it. It's a rarity that we canceled and not the show cancels.
And what's the name of your band again, Will?
Psychic Bouse.
And you're going to go down like that, huh? You're going to go down.
Yeah.
For some job
gotta,
you won't have.
You're going to work the work.
For a
we'll
job
do it next year.
You a job. There's always next. For a job you won't have, next year.
I hope. I've had it 10 years. So
oh, well, then I, hope,
a,
then I hope you nope. have it. I hope you do have your job. I thought you were working like a temp kind of job.
No, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Yeah. I thought I'd call you tonight and tell you something real dumb I did recently, or fairly dumb. Made me feel dumb.
Let's hear it.
Well, I generally wear jeans, but I got excited and thought maybe I'll try to find some pants that aren't jeans. and I was reading around the internet. I found some pants. Okay, like looking at them, and the size box said 28 to 33, and I thought, well, that's weird. Why would they only make 28 to 33? So I looked at the other styles of pants, all of them 28 to 33. So I get pretty discouraged. I wear 34. You know, I started milling it over. A couple of beers, decided that they had something against where they wanted to have some exclusive skinny people pants, you know. Mm-hmm. And I sent them an email stating, you know, hey, I'd like to buy some pants from you. I'm sure that anyone else would buy these size 34 pants as well.
Yeah.
And they emailed me back the next day and said, oh, I don't know what the problem is. I'm sorry you're having trouble, da, 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 da. So I get back on the website and look and then think about it. And I scrolled, and there's every size you could ever imagine if you scroll. So I emailed them back and told them that I was an idiot. Thanks for their time. But
wow. Well, that that's a pretty dumb story, I got to say.
It's a dumb story, but I thought you might get a smirk out of it.
I did get a smirk out of it.
Awesome.
But I'm amazed that you're folding like a cheap camera and you're not going to make it to Gonerfest.
I want to go.
You're
one,
in Tennessee.
One day. I don't really wish this on you, but you might gain a little bit of perspective of the dismal drive from Knoxville to Memphis. It's worth it to go to Gonerfest, but
I've driven from New Jersey to Memphis.
I know it.
And you go past Knoxville, you're like, oh good, we're almost there.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a drive from Knoxville. You're going to cry about the drive from Knoxville to Memphis. What is it, 6.5 hours?
It's it's about 7. I drive the speed limit, so it takes me a little bit.
Yeah, so what do you do? You put an audio book on, or you listen to the best show. You listen to two episodes
two
of the best show, and you're there.
I guess it's two best shows away, pretty much.
You're a crybaby, Will.
Well, I really wish I could make it, but next year I definitely am going to make it. I'm already kicking myself.
Good. All right. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it, Will.
Well, have a great time in Tennessee. And
I appreciate you. Look, thanks for the call.
Awesome. You're awesome.
You have a great night.
Okay,
bye. My friends, let me tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron. You think about restaurants are so expensive, right? You think about you go there and you're paying a ton of money to eat food out and about. And then you don't even know what you're eating there. Blue Apron is good food, high quality, good tasting. You don't know what's on that steamer tray you're getting your food from. The places I go to. Thank goodness for Blue Apron. They got partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And the seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. And the food can, Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. And because they ship the exact amount of the ingredients you need to make a recipe, they reduced food waste. It really is high quality, delicious food, great ingredients, and it's less than $10 a meal. And the recipes are seasonal, and they mix them up for you. The menu is always constantly evolving, and you can pick things that fit your dietary needs and restrictions. So you get to make those incredible meals with high-quality ingredients. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron brings you the best. Some of the menu items in September? Paprika spiced shrimp and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. Eggplant and chickpea tagine with islander pepper, tomato, and couscous. Summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes, corn, and summer sweet pepper. Oh, my goodness. Don't those all sound so good? You want to start making good food at home for under $10 a meal? You go to blueapron.com. Check out this week's menu. You go to blueapron.com/bestshow and check out the menu and get those first free, those first three meals free with free shipping. blueapron.com/bestshow. Check out the menu this week and get those first three meals free with free shipping. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. blueapron.com/bestshow. Blue Apron, a better way to cook, or Blue Apron. Cook some food, bruh. Best show.
Hey, this is John from Maplewood.
John from Maplewood. Quality. This is just what we need right now. This is just that in times like these, troubled times, a guy like John from Maplewood comes. Look, he's not Barry Bonds. He's not going to hit it out of the park 600 feet. But he's also not going to strike out two-thirds of the time he steps to the plate. He gets on base.
That.
He gets on base. He's quality.
Well, thank you.
He manufactures runs. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing okay, and I appreciate that. My son's listening tonight, so the fact that you didn't, you were decent to me. Thank you.
That I didn't eviscerate you in front of your son. He'd never
that would be a little rough.
Look, I didn't want this. This might be out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And please tell me if it is. Fist fight between you and your son. You win 10 times out of 10, right? Your kid. He can't. He doesn't even stand a shot. Right? Sorry, Billy. Is his name Billy?
he gets a good shot in once in a while. I don't know. He's low. He's got a low center of gravity, so.
So just like he still has like a puncher's chance. And look, I'm 10. John from Maplewood Jr., this is not any sort of thing to say, go fight your dad. You don't. You respect your dad. You treat this guy nice. He treats you nice. All those things he bought you that you they're garbage now. They're in some landfill. He bought them for you. You wanted them then. He still takes care. He still gets that food on the table. You worship this guy. And
you
remember,
do not know what a public service you've just done.
And you were listening to me, John, from Maplewood Jr. Your papa comes home from work. This is how I want it now in that house. You're waiting there. You say, good evening, papa. And then you take his coat. Do you have a coat? Do you come in with a coat? Well, you will sooner. Even if you don't wear a coat at work, you'll have a coat just because it'll be cold out.
Well, now I'll be sure to wear a coat.
Yeah, you take his coat. Good evening, papa. And then you say, good evening, John from Maplewood Jr., and you pat him on the head. Then he says, what can I get you, Papa? And then you'll say, well, what would you want when you come in the door?
What would I want? Maybe some tea?
Some tea, And you say, I'd like some tea. And then he says, yes, Papa. And he goes, makes the tea, and then you sit in the chair, right? The big chair.
Right.
The Archie Bunker chair.
We've got one.
And then he brings the tea in. Should he steep it in front of you? Do you want like a whole presentation, or should he just bring the tea ready?
I think that would be good if he was sort of, the word is, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I guess steeping, taking the tea bag and putting it into the cup in front of me. That would be good.
This is what I would say. Go get a tea tray.
Mm-hmm.
You get a tea tray. He has to wheel it in.
Mm-hmm.
It has snacks on it also.
Right.
Cucumber sandwiches, some Madeline's, is that a thing, right? Is that a thing? A snack?
I think it is. Yeah, I've heard of those. Or some breakfast treats.
Yeah, he'll have like some Stella Dora breakfast treats on it, some Hydrox cookies.
Mm-hmm.
He wheels that in. and he's got a white cloth over his forearm, and he pours the tea for you, and then he walks out of the room backwards, in kind of like a half bow.
Right.
And there's also there will be a bell on this tea tray as well that you just ring.
Yes, and what did you say he would have a towel over his arm?
Yes, he would.
Good. Good. Okay.
And then he can also, as you're sitting there, he can also kind of buff your shoes. Right?
Yes. Perfect. I'll stop wearing open-toe sandals.
John from Maplewood Jr., this is how it is now.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, you hit the bricks. Right? The Maplewood, there's a Whole Foods out there. You go get a job at Whole Foods, you don't like it.
I'm not in the same room as him right now, but I can imagine the look on his face at the moment.
So, what do I owe the pleasure of this call, John?
Well, I am not asking for tickets to Ghana Fest because I really can't make it, but I would like to offer a dumb story, if that's okay.
Yes. Please.
So, okay. So when I was in high school, it was Halloween, and I decided to wear like a 70s getup. This was, you know, in the 80s, so not enough time had passed for it to be a very good costume. But I had the shirt unbuttoned halfway, and I asked this kid in my class to draw chest hair on me. Now, this kid was kind of a bully, but sometimes we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if I could really trust him, but I trusted him, which was my mistake.
Yes.
Because then he proceeded, without me realizing it, he proceeded to write IMA with, it's a four-letter word that starts with a D and ends with a K
mm-hmm.
on my chest.
Sure.
And I did not know he had done this. And then I started walking down the hallway. First stop was my economics teacher.
Yeah.
And I said, I stretched my shirt wide open and said, hey.
That's
proceeded to go on like that for quite some time before I looked in the mirror, or I can't remember how it resolved itself. Oh, maybe a friend told me.
That is horrifying, John.
It was bad.
Yeah, that's a bad one. You'd probably win. If you were in Tennessee, you'd win.
Yeah, I figured I wish I could go because this was an awful one. I mean, I can't believe I trusted this clown, but that's what happens.
You listen to me, John from Maplewood Jr. You run into the room now. As soon as your father hangs up, you run into the room and you clap. And you say, smashing story, Papa. Smashing story. No, if he doesn't do it, John, you call me back. You let me know.
I'll let you know. Yeah. I'm going to keep on this.
Oh, that's such a good story. Thank you, John.
Have a good night.
You too. Okay, bye. Good guy, Mike, right? Yeah. Did you know where I got this topic? Duh. The topic is duh. Tonight, duh, just duh. And this is where this started. The other night I'm driving. I feel myself. You ever get that feeling that you're just like getting dumber? I know I'm getting dumber. I know it. I can feel it. I can feel my brain shrinking. I'm driving home about a mile, 2 miles from home. I get a flat and thankfully I'm driving on side streets. It's manageable. I was not on the New Jersey Turnpike, which would have been it's my worst nightmare breaking down. Every time I've broken down on a highway, it makes you just like hate cars and just you just hate the way the world works then. Like, that's when it feels like, why don't I have a lot of money? Because then I wouldn't be in a car that broke down. I mean, I just remember so much of my life was filled with car engines catching on fire, weird smoke rattling, brrr, cars just, you know, they're, you know, it's going to happen. And it's just, when does it happen? That one time you're out in the car and you just feel it click down and you just know, oh, this car, this might be the last time I drive this car ever. This might be it. This car might die today. And you're on the parkway. And then the car stops, stalls, that lowly roll over to the side of the road, hazards on. You get out, you look at it, there's nothing you can do. It's not like you get out and you're some master mechanic. What am I looking? I'm looking at smoke coming out of my engine. My diagnostic of this would be that something's wrong with the engine, thus stopping the car from moving and creating this smoke. That's my diagnosis of this situation. So now I'm going to wait for a policeman to pull up. Or I'm going to hope I still have some AAA membership, which I know I don't. Always that moment.
Did I renew AAA?
No, I didn't. Oh, wait. When, how long have I let it lapse? Oh, 6 years? Oh, hi. You call AAA. Hi, I'm just calling. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure my membership is up to date. I'd like to... What? It's not? Well, I'd like to update it, please. Why, is your car broken? No, no. I'm just calling to update my membership. At 4 a.m. And you can hear I'm on a highway in the background. That's all. I'm calling to just update my membership in the middle of the night. And I sound scared and tired. So, yes, here's my credit card number. Good night. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Yes, hi, I'd like to report. Have a car. My car's broken down. Just the worst feeling. I've had it happen so many times. I've had brakes fail on cars where I, like, skidded through a thing. I could have gotten crushed. And then the cop pulled me over and he's like, what are you doing going through it? And I yelled back at the cop, my brakes didn't work. And the cop, oh, okay. Like, actually, let me off the hook. Not like the time I got my car searched a few years ago, which was, what a fun night that was. Driving home from doing my show. And got pulled over for speeding on the highway. 10 miles over the speed limit. You look nervous. Yeah, it's because there's two cop cars behind me. And I'm in a parking lot. And you guys are starting to get very intimidating. Then that moment where they just go, yeah, we're either going to, you can either consent to have your car searched or we're going to impound it. You can, boy, really giving me a lot of options there. I can either say yes to having my car searched or I can say no and you'll search it 5 hours from now. Rat cops. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about rat cops. I'm just saying, you drive a car, you have a history of cars just breaking down and blowing up and croaking right in front of you. So the flat tire goes, and it all rushes back. Every feeling I've tried to avoid for my adult life of cars breaking. But I'm like 2 miles away. I can make it home, so I'm doing that classic 3-mile-an-hour side road drive. Hazards. Through neighborhood at 9:30 at night. Car drives by. I got to pull over, let him pass. Finally got some momentum going. Now I got to start it back up. Get home. I'm like, all right, let me put the donut on this dumb thing. I'll go get the tire changed. I'll go get the tire replaced tomorrow. I get the jack out, get the donut out. I'm trying to put this thing together. Suddenly I can't remember how to do any of it. I got the jack, because you got the one thing that's got the little hook on it, then the other stick that pops into it, and you crank it that way. I'm putting this thing the wrong way. I'm going this way, that way. I got the jack going sideways under the car. I start cranking the thing. Then I hear, oh boy, I got the jack in the wrong place. Have to lower it again. Then there's like that jack, what's it called on the car? It's like a jack pressure point, right? So I'm looking at the manual for this thing. And I used to know this stuff. I'd used to change a tire in 15 minutes. Here I am, I'm on the ground. My drive, thank God I'm in my driveway. I'm not on the side of the highway with this happening. Oh my God, can you imagine? Suddenly I can't remember any of it. I'm cranking this thing. It's just picturing the jack pop going right through the floor of my car. Covered in sweat. I was thinking, it's just like, what happened? Where did the ability go? So then I go inside and watch a video on. Oh, it's mortifying. I'm on YouTube watching a video. How to change a jack. Like it's the first time I had to change a tire. It's the first time I ever did it. Go back out. At least I figured out how to hook the two bars together to crank it easier. I still couldn't do it exactly right. I'm getting that thing going up, up. And finally, I'm just like, you know what? If this thing falls, I don't even care. I'm cranking this thing up. If it tips over, what do I care? Goes through the floor of my car. I'm done. Finally get the thing jacked high enough so the donut goes on it. Get the donut on it. And that's like a victory. How's that a victory? And my wife was saying, call AAA. She's like, you don't have all night to do this. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, I should call AAA. I'm not good at this. But I'm also just picturing, it's like, when it was my father would just show up, pop that thing 5 minutes, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, I gotta finish this thing now. Just in the spirit of what my father would have wanted me to be able to do as an adult. And I also could not handle the face on that AAA dude pulling into my driveway. Oh, you couldn't fix your tire. Like, oh, you imagine what that would... Guy does it in 2 minutes. Has to give me that smirk. Like, I can't... So what am I going to say back to him? Yeah, well, you ever... I don't know, you ever punch up a screenplay? Yeah, I didn't think so. We each have our skill sets, buddy. No. Had to do it. But yeah, I felt myself, I was like, what happened? What got me to this point where this is a fight to do a thing that used to just be much easier. And look, I know I did it with more regularity in the past. But still, it should not. I should not have hemorrhaged any memory of it. Then, next day, drive to the train station, park my car at the train station, take the train, come back. I parked in a different part of the parking garage at the train station, so I'm just like, okay, yeah, it's a different area. Okay. I know where I am. I come back off this train, walk into that parking garage. I could not find my car. I'm like, is my car gone? Did somebody steal my car? And I'm pressing that key thing over and over. And finally here, burnt, so far away, God knows where it's coming from. Burnt. I don't know if it's on the same floor I'm on, if it's one up, one down. I'm walking around this parking garage looking for my car. I walked the length of this thing. I tell you, I walked for 45 minutes till I finally found my car. What's going on? Now I can't park? Getting dumber. Then I'm like, all right, I'm going to read. I'm tired of reading nonfiction. All I read is nonfiction. This is what drives me crazy. This AP Mike. This guy. He reads these books. Like it's nobody's business. He's knocking back books. And he's reading like heavy duty books. Meanwhile, I'm like, how far into this issue of Rolling Stone am I? Oh boy, it's been 2 weeks. I guess I gotta read this Green Day article. I guess I can power through this Green Day article and put this one to bed. Put this issue of Rolling Stone to bed. Rolling Stone is like a pamphlet now. It's like 32 pages long. I'm sitting there. So I read, I take out this, literally the smallest fiction book ever that's not like Green Eggs and Ham is The Man Who Would Be King. It's like 60 pages long. I'm staring at that first sentence in this thing. Like, what? Trying to wrap my head around it? Oh, I really think I'm something. Maybe I have some problems. Maybe something's wrong. Is there just no room left in my head? Is that what it is? Is that how that works? There's just no more room left? Then I finally find my car. I drive my donutted car to get some shelves to put together. You know, those basic shelves that you don't even need a hammer to put it, like a mallet is all you need to put them together. Everything kind of clicks together. I've put together probably 50 of these things over the years. Well, fast forward to me stuck putting that thing together for hours, this shelf. And then fast forward to me watching a YouTube video on how to put the shelf together. Things falling on my head. I might be rolling backwards. This might be a backward endeavor. 2 weeks to read an issue of Rolling Stone. And this mic is plowing through books. This guy is, he's getting better, and I'm getting worse. Look, when I first met him, he was as if the song, that Bruce Springsteen song. What's that one from Born to Run? Hey, Johnny, I got a deal. What's that? Mike was if that song got hit by lightning and came to life. That was Mike. Mike is that song. Sleazy deals and guys in parking lots and can you get rid of this car for me and we're going to hit it big and then hide me. Then I turn around. Here he is knocking these books off and I'm staring at that first sentence in that novella, not a novel. The man who would be king. Someday I'll get off page one of it. So that's why we're talking about things like that when you feel you are just losing brain power and not being able to do the things you could do before. And the hashtag is Tom. Duh. And we are giving out these Gonerfest tickets, a pair of gold level tickets for Gonerfest, which is this weekend in Memphis, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got to be able to use them. Whoever has the best story gets to get the tickets at the end of the show. You won't regret it. Black Lips, Kid Congo, Raining Sound, Fred and Tootie. Best show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. This is Nicholas Tanek. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. Great show. I have a quick story of me being incredibly dumb. Like, this is, I'm so embarrassed and ashamed by this. 1994, 18 years old, we're on a rooftop. I'm a Rutgers student, a rooftop in New Brunswick, and I was a bad kid.
Rutgers!
Rutgers, yes.
Grease trucks! We're going to grease trucks!
Well, this is, I hung out with a little different crowd. So let's start with the bad idea number one. Dumb idea number one. We were smoking angel dust on a roof.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
The end.
Well, we kind of say
that's the end of the dumb story.
No, well, we started jumping from rooftop to rooftop, like morons.
Okay.
An idiot, like, it was, you know, I made the first one. And it felt alive, felt crazy. Then made the second one, made the third one. Fourth one, not so much. Fourth one, I was hanging from the gutter like vertigo.
How high up are you?
Only like three floors.
Only three floors.
Oh, it's enough to paralyze you, maybe kill you,
yeah,
break your couple legs, but you know, but we're stupid. We're so dumb. And I noticed that there were windows, and in between the windows, down the three floors, there was this huge pipe, brown pipe, all rusty. So I use that as like a ladder. And I'm cutting up my hands all bloody. I finally get down, and I'm so proud that I'm alive. Not proud, happy. Happy, lucky that, like, I didn't break anything. Mm-hmm. And my crazy friends, who are not my friends anymore because they're bad influences, I don't do drugs anymore, and just so you know, they're like, yeah, yeah. I turn around, and there's this guy. You'd classify him as a hipster these days, but 94, that term wasn't even a term. And he's wearing a bathrobe, had a little kitten in his hand. I remember that his flip-flops were different colors, you know, where they mismatched. And here I am with a huge devil-like smile on my face. My face was beet red. My eyes were wide, like an insane person, and I had blood all over my hands. And he's like, all scared of me, as he should have been. And he's like, what are you doing? And I go, angel dust, and I walk away. So I think that's all funny at the time, but now, later in the night, I get so embarrassed, and I go back to my apartment, which is right off Eastern Avenue, and I start listening to Spaceman 3, Transparent Radiation, which is, I don't know if you know that song, but it's a very long, like, 8-minute song. It's really psychedelic. And
yeah, it's a Red Crayola song.
Yeah. And it's a really, like, psychedelic song, and so, like, I'm, like, coming down off of drugs, and it was at that moment, I kept on saying to myself, what I did tonight was so stupid. I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot. I can't do stuff like this anymore, because I was, like, this skater kid when I was a teenager, when I do, like, crazy dangerous stuff for fun, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just realized, I had this realization, this revelation, though, where I was like, I can't do stupid stuff like this anymore. I can't. I'm going to either kill myself or someone else might get hurt by accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't do stuff. And it really, like, that moment kind of changed my life. Now, I'm embarrassed by it, but I never did angel dust again.
That is, well, look, the good part of the story is that you didn't go back to angel dust.
Yeah, that's the good part of the story.
Yeah. Well,
all right, man.
Great story.
Yeah. Can I just plug my site real quick?
Of course.
Great. I interviewed you for Network Awesome. If you go to thecoolestway.net, you could watch that interview of me interviewing you. And I have some books, The Coolest Way to Kill Yourself, Chip Black Nail Polish. Check it out. And, Tom, you have a wonderful evening. Love your show.
You have a great night, too.
Take care.
Bye. Good guy. He's a good guy. Mike doesn't like him, but I like him. Hey, this Mike comes in. Says, you're going to mention apmike.bandcamp.com tonight, right? Yes, Mike. You're going to tell everybody I still have the Masters shirts, right? Yes, Mike. You're going to tell everybody we have all different sizes, right? Yes, Mike. You can tell them they can just order them at apmike.bandcamp.com, right? Yes, Mike. And that's all he says to me. Then he just sits at the phone bank, gets ready to take calls. That's the level of our exchange at this point. Best show.
Good evening, Tom.
Good evening. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Caroline in Brooklyn.
Caroline in the city, what's up?
I have a low-stakes one for the topic tonight.
Okay, the topic being duh! Duh, right? Let's hear it. What is the thing? Now, are you going to tell me something that you've... Because some people are just telling stupid stories. I'm looking for the things that you're getting dumber at.
I've got one that I've gotten dumb at that I regret, but it's not like a life skill.
Well, tell me the one you're going to tell me.
Okay. So when I was a kid, I took piano lessons, you know, for a couple years, and I used to be able to just, like, bust out Scott Joplin's The Entertainer in any room where there was a piano, and I miss being able to do that. It's kind of a neat parlor trick.
To just sit down and go... As your hand going boom, 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 like doing all that bouncy stuff.
Oh, yeah, all the little trills and everything. I'd wink on the beat.
I wish I could do that. I wish I could play piano. Right?
Yeah, it's great to bust out at parties.
It would be fun to sit down and just go, oh, you have a piano. And then you sit down and you just go, but you better play that thing a long time. People are going to be like, what's next? You're like, it's kind of the only song I know. Right?
No, that was the same thing for me. I could play that, and then I'd like kind of play a little bit of the Easy Winners, which is like the B-side of The Entertainer. People didn't recognize it. I didn't know the whole thing, you know. It was like a quick decline, which is probably why my brain expelled that information.
You know what song I wish I could play on the piano? I would sit down, and I would play Rhapsody in Blue. Right?
You don't worry that people would get tired like halfway through. It's like a 16-minute piece.
Yeah, but you wear them out. Then they leave, and they don't know it's the only song you can play. They're already gone.
The perfect crime.
Yes. So what do you got, Caroline? What's the thing you were going to tell me?
From no, that was it.
No?
That was my kooky thing. And then,
it.
You know, I can't do a long division anymore, but who needs it?
Yeah. I can't do that. Can you write in script? Do you write in script as well as you used to be able to?
I can't do the, like, classic, like, lined paper. You know, that paper with the dotted lines where you'd, like, do half the letter. It'd be, like, half the lines. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Look.
I can't do that kind of like schoolroom cursive, but my handwriting now is in such a deplorable state that it's kind of its own ad hoc script.
My handwriting is the greatest. I'll say this. My handwriting is the greatest. It really looks good, and I could write out things for hire with how good my handwriting is. The style
you
of
mean
handwriting
like,
I've developed.
Like side of the building sign painting, or do you mean like really good estate sale
I mean like
telephone sign?
Writing out liner notes. If somebody wanted handwritten liner notes for their album, or if they wanted me to write out a Pete Frame album tree thing, like band family tree, I could do that.
Like
I got
the
great
inside of
Hunky
Dory, right? That like nice kind of like print writing with the little flower drawings.
I got great handwriting, and I'm proud of it.
But it should be. It's a dying art, Tom.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm going to say goodnight because all the lines are lit.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye. Best show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Tom. It's Lena from Keyport.
Lena from Keyport. What's up in Keyport? Where's Keyport? Rhode Island?
No, New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yes.
Where's Keyport?
It's like by Mattawan.
Okay. Where's Mattawan?
It's, I don't know, in Monmouth County.
Okay, gotcha. So what's going on, Lena?
I have a story for the topic.
Let's hear it.
So it's involving Entourage. My first, like, real job out of college was doing social media, and so I guess like 2004, so it was when Entourage like first came out, and it was sort of still the beginning of like social media marketing, and I used to manage the account for like the individual characters, and one of the characters I managed was Turtle, and people would write to him like direct messages and be like, hey Turtle, what's up, like can you help me get into the industry, like, they were actually talking to the real character.
Okay.
I didn't know if they thought, like, Entourage was a documentary or something.
So they thought it was, like, they're asking Turtle for actual, when if they would watch the show, they realized Turtle doesn't know anything.
Exactly. And it was, like, multiple people. So it wasn't even just one person. And we would have to write back to these people and kind of explain in a nice way that this is just a character profile. Mm-hmm.
So that was like a year-round Santa Claus kind of thing when you were just one of Santa's helpers and you had to say you were just Santa's helpers helping out Santa.
Yeah, pretty much.
Turtle's helpers.
Pretty much.
I'm not the real Turtle. The real Turtle's so busy in Los Angeles right now all year long. So Turtle gets helpers to field requests from little kids like you who want to know how a character who drives around a movie star can become a movie star.
Exactly.
Remember when Jerry Ferrara called the best show? Do you remember
yes.
that? Were you excited? You feel like you're kind of, true or false, Lena, you feel in your heart of hearts, I'm not judging you, that you have some sort of connection to Turtle and to Jerry Ferrara because you portrayed Turtle on social media.
Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
I was his voice.
You should. You should. Did you have to talk about Avion?
I don't know what Avion is. I honestly didn't watch the show.
You were the voice of Turtle and you don't even know what Avion. Next thing you're going to tell me you don't know who Saigon is.
I don't. I watched like the first two episodes, I think.
Can you believe this, Mike? I don't know what I'm saying. Can you believe this? Mike Dudio is the one who loves Entourage. He saw the Entourage movie like the night before it came out. I think he paid like extra money to get in there or something. And then I went and saw it two nights later and Dudio was like, I saw Entourage. And I don't know why am I giving him that accent? I don't know why I'm giving him this accent as if he's like, as if it's Foghorn Leghorn. He's got the slightest hint of a southern accent. Once in a long while, he gets it. But he was like, I saw the Entourage movie. The theater was packed and people were loving it. I go two nights later. Theater's a graveyard. I get to the movie theater early because I'm just like, well, Jason said this thing was packed with people. I tell you, I don't want that seat in the front row where I'm staring up at the screen. Like, I'm not going to get a bad seat for this. So I drag my wife early to it. Theater's a graveyard. We got our pick of the seats in it. We watch the thing, and she says to me on the way out, well, that was like watching three episodes of a television show in a movie theater. And I was like, yeah, it kind of was. But the difference is, I wish I could have watched more. Yeah.
Well, did I watch it?
No, it's too late. It's too late. You should watch Ballers.
I keep being tempted, but I just can't.
Ballers is like Entourage, but dumber. It's like if for people who had a hard time figuring out Entourage, might I recommend Ballers to you? Because,
well, The Rock is pretty charming.
The Rock is very charming, and then what's his face is on it too? Rob Corddry, he's charming, right?
Yeah, he seems it from the commercials I've seen.
He's a nice guy, and it's got do I watch the show? Yeah, watched every episode. Was I excited for the season finale? Super excited. Other people were like, oh my God, it's the season finale of Mr. Robot this week. I'm like, what? I'm more worried if Spencer's going to get his license to be able to do investments with football players. And there's this football player in the episode that was on this week, this guy Eddie George.
And is that a real football player?
It really is. This dude must have gone, this dude went full like he must have been studying with Stanislavski or something. This dude goes, he's doing the most like on point acting I've seen ever. Like, he knew every turn that each line was supposed to. I was like, oh my God, this guy learned how to really act for this thing. He's a better actor than The Rock. He's making The Rock look like he can't act in it. You know, it's also weird. The Rock's super obviously he's super handsome. He's built it with this body that's like, perfect, right? The guy's like a statue.
Yeah, he's ripped.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he's beyond ripped. Now, but he almost seems like so ripped that it's I don't find Angeline, the LA woman who would drive around, on paper, it's just be like, hey, you guys, you like sexy ladies. And they wear low-cut tops, and they go all chest, and they wear things. It's like, but it's like so over the top, it's like, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's...
Yeah,
it's
he not, looks like he's about to burst out of his skin. Yeah. He's a little too much at this point.
And then he wears, like, these suits where he's so huge in, like, just a suit. It's like, man, that's, yeah, that suit looks like he's going to Hulk out in it, right? Like he's going to
yeah,
go.
Totally.
Like he's supposed to go, I couldn't get my license, and now I'm getting mad. And the suit just rips off of his skin. But it doesn't... happen, and they, but he's like, I don't know. Oh, I had dinner with that guy once.
You did?
I did. You want to hear the story?
Yes.
Read my book. Get off my phone. From now on, you want to hear the good ones, read my book. I had dinner with The Rock. Famous person came up to the table. Like, legendarily famous person came up to the table and had to, like, say to The Rock, like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. A guy who would never have gone up to somebody else's table in the past. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Jesse in Toronto.
Jesse in Toronto. What's up, Jesse?
Well, I've got a story for you, but I got a quick question for you, too. I've got an I'm dumb story, but I've got a question. We in Toronto here, we just had the Tragically Hip play what is billed as their last show ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tragically Hip is kind of the quintessential Canadian band.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that stuff ever made its way to you guys, or to you specifically, I guess. And if you knew what was going on over here about it.
Yes, I knew what was going on. Personally, I do not know their music beyond a very, very limited point. But I'm aware of the story, and I thought it was very emotional and very touching, and I'm glad that he got his to have that moment.
And I'm surprised to hear that it didn't make it all the way, like, you know, that so much, I mean, so much since, like, the late 80s. You guys never, it's just strange, you know? You guys didn't get a whole lot of it, but...
Well, stuff don't always translate here. Like, up there, you could probably, if I asked you to sing Go for a Soda right now, you could, right? Or Patio Lights. Sing Patio Lights for me.
I don't lie. I can't do it.
You can sing Go for a Soda, though, right?
I don't know, man.
Kim Mitchell? You can't do it?
Might
as
no,
well go for a soda, right? Wait, how do I know that better than you?
Before my time, I guess.
Before your time. What who do you like better, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
I got to say the Beatles here. Yeah.
That's before your time, too. Get off my phone. How dare you. Best show.
Hey. Jessica from Ithaca.
Jessica from Ithaca. How are you, Jessica?
I'm doing good.
What's going on tonight?
Not much. Just called in to talk about the topic.
Now tell me, Jessica, what is the thing that makes you, where you just feel like you're losing it, like you're getting worse or dumber?
Well, so I used to be an engineering student at Cornell, which is why I live in Ithaca, and I graduated, and I did grad school for a little bit, but, and so as a result, I was a teacher's assistant in two classes while I was there, and then I sort of didn't finish grad school because my mental health wasn't all right, and then I sort of got disillusioned with doing engineering in the first place and then started writing music. As a result, I just work a lot of service industry jobs now, which wasn't too bad at first because I worked away from the school for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I got fired from a few jobs, I ended up working at a pizza place, like, right next to the college.
That you
and I always feel really dumb when, like, I have former students come in, and it's just like, yeah, a lot of people who graduated with me are really successful now, but now I'm here.
I feel that one. That one. Yeah, because then you're just like, wait, I'm here right now? I used to be there.
I used to be just across the giant bridge.
Yeah, yeah. There was one little bridge. Even though it's a big bridge, it's still just one bridge separating you from the college and the pizza and the pizza place.
Pretty much.
So now, Jessica, that one is that one's pretty on point to a degree I might not be comfortable with. So,
you know, I guess.
Well, look,
moment passed.
Look, you get paid. You're not going to be at the pizza place forever.
No, I'm not. It's just moments, you know. I'm like, am I losing it?
I know.
Am I just spiraling?
Oh. Yeah. You got to catch you. I think maybe if you can identify it, that's the first step in making an adjustment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, Jessica. Hang in there.
All right. Hope you get my package soon.
Oh, the CD? I just got some envelopes that I have not opened that I have and I will open.
Yes. Yes. That's what they said it would come. All right. Cool.
I'm ready.
All right.
You have a great night. Bye. Best show.
Hello, Tom?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Kevin from Austin.
Kevin from Awesome. What's up, Kevin?
I have something for the topic today.
And the topic is?
Duh.
And I want to say this. If you're somebody who wants these Gonerfest tickets, you got to say, I want the Gonerfest tickets. Somebody in how is nobody in Tennessee called up? I won't give them out. I'm just going to give them out to anybody.
I want the Gonerfest tickets.
But you're in Austin. Would you really drive to Memphis?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a temp. I don't care.
You're not kidding. That's if you win, though. I'm not giving them to you. You might.
If you win them, I will drive to Austin. Yeah. I will drive to Tennessee.
All right. What do you got?
Okay, so this starts off with me having a broken phone, which instead of just normally getting it fixed, I took about 2 weeks to do anything about it, which was a bad idea. I have to go to my first week of work as a temp, and I decide that I'm going to make an appointment during my lunch break. Okay. During that lunch break, I see that I actually have a flat tire, mm-hmm. and I decide I'm going to go to a gas stop and just fill it with some air.
Mm-hmm.
I go to that air spot, and I realize for the next 20 minutes that I do not remember how to do this at all. I am trying over and over. No air is going into it. I've done this before. I'm not like
you're talking about.
Has never done this.
You're talking about just refilling your tire.
Yeah, I have no idea why. I just had a block in me that day, and I could not do it.
Wow. So what?
I'm not done yet.
Okay, keep going. Keep going.
So I am doing this for like 20 minutes, and I'm just like,
now what are you doing? What are you doing with the hose?
I'm putting in the little hole that you put in for air, and like it's just not working. I don't know if maybe that wasn't working, but I've done this before, and I was just like, there has to be something wrong with me. It's just not working.
So 20 minutes in.
20 minutes in, I realize, okay, I'm going to miss this appointment, and I have to go back to work in 40 minutes. So you know what? I'm going to do this after I go and drop off the phone.
Now, are your hands just have that tire filth on them?
Yeah.
You know, like that total, like that smear of like dirt and grease that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty gross. And I'm also wearing kind of nice clothes because it's my first week of work.
Okay.
So it's a bad combo.
Yeah. So
I'm also in Austin for the first time, so I'm covered in sweat. My car doesn't have AC, so it's a really bad combination all over the place. And I decide, okay, I'm going to this appointment, I'm going to fix my phone first, and I'm going to figure out the rest after. So since I don't have a functioning phone, do not know how to get to this Apple store, because I forgot to look for instructions on how to get there.
Okay.
I make a total guess, and I get to the part of the highway in Texas that's just a really large ramp. And when I'm on there, my tire decides to just break and explode, and I have to go to the side of the road. which is bad in any situation, but since you have a broken phone and it's kind of like shaky in that area, mm-hmm. I'm kind of just stranded in the middle of this ramp part of the highway without any way to get any help for my car or me, and I'm in a car without AC, and I'm just stranded.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
And how late were you for the appointment?
I missed it. I definitely missed it.
So you just straight up missed it. You didn't even go.
So, yeah. What happened after was I got outside my car because there was no way for me to really do anything. If I kept walking down that road, it would have been super dangerous. So I'm essentially just sitting on my car hoping some random guy will pull over and help me out with, like, a phone or anything. Because mm-hmm. I also don't have an extra tire, which is
okay.
really bad.
So you don't even have, yeah, you don't even have the spare.
No, I don't. So yeah,
you're hoping they pull over and what? Have another tire on them?
No. I have AAA, so I was just hoping someone gives me a phone to use for a few minutes so I could, for like some help, just call someone in to like take me to like a Jiffy Lube or something.
Wow, that's a bummer, man.
Yeah, it keeps going.
All right, keep going.
So after that, it's about 45 minutes in my hot car when someone finally pulls over. It's a guy who actually had seen me on the other side of the highway and was like, oh, man, that kid just looks like he desperately needs help, and apparently made a turn just to be able to come and help me out. And I get in his car, and I make a call to AAA. It turns out they're going to be there in about an hour. And that's bad because... one, it's really hot. Two, I'm not going to have this guy wait with me, so I have to go back in the car. And also, I don't have the number to my job, which is, it's my first week at work there. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea where I am because it's my lunch break.
Yeah.
And I can't call them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I call AAA, something I can really do about the job, so I'll figure that out later. And after about 40-ish minutes, they come and pick me up, and they take me to a tire shop. The tire shop tells me all of the tires are actually just corroded terribly and I should change them all.
Sure.
Don't have the money for that, so I'm just going to handle the one that I need to replace to mm-hmm. be able to just, like, get to work and get home.
Yeah.
And they give me an amount, and I'm like, I realize I don't actually have that amount of money at the time. I tell them, yeah, I'll pay for it all when when it's fixed. I'll come back in a few hours. So I have to walk about 3 miles to my job. I get there about, I guess I'm 2 hours late at this point, and it's still my first week. And I try to explain to them everything that's happening. They act like it's fine, but I can tell they're pretty mad.
Yeah.
And I can't really do my job because I have to contact my brother asking him for a loan to get to be able to pay for my tire.
Yeah.
And after a while of communication to get that to happen, I realized that, which is just the dumbest part, I gave the tire company my contact number, so the only way I'll know when it's fixed is when they call my cell phone, which is broken, and I don't have any way to hear from them.
Yeah, keep going.
So I pretty much just decide I'm going to go right at the end of my shift. And I contact my roommate. She comes all the way, which is like 40 minutes away from where we live, to like pick me up. She drives me to this tire shop. It turns out they're like about to close, but they literally just don't want my car on the lot anymore. So they help me out and just give me the car back after I pay them with my brother's money, which I had to pay back. And I decide I'm going to go to the Apple store. I'm going to see if they can fix my phone. And I go there. And I missed my appointment, and they said no, and I had to wait, like, another week before I could fix it.
Wow. And this is all because you couldn't figure out how to put air in your tire.
Yeah.
Mm. I would give you these Gonerfest tickets straight up, but I have a feeling your car is going to blow up as you're driving to Memphis.
I promise I'll go in my roommate's car.
Well, look, what's your name again?
Kevin.
Kevin. All right, you're in the running for these tickets.
Great.
This is like $150 worth of tickets, man. This is like the gold tickets. Get you into everything.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is great. We will see what happens. Bye. One of the bands at Gonerfest, who I love so much. Raining Sound, this is from their album, Live at Goner Records. Drowning. Oh, didn't play. Hold on. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do it just like George Michael said. If you're going to do it right. Remember when he said that? If you're going to do it right. Oh, do it with me. Remember that song, Mike? Baby, I'm your man. That's a good song. Raining Sound. Raining Sound, so good. They'll be at Gonerfest. Giving this pair of tickets away. Whoever calls with the best story, exhibiting why you are stupid or getting dumber in life. Hey, Mike. We'll bring Jim. Jim Murphy? We'll do that in a few minutes. Mike has a photographer, friend of his who's here from the area. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. Did you hear last week, Mike, by any chance, on the show, that I told when I was in the Beach Boys? A lot of people seem to like that, right? And it's just like, they're like, are you going to tell more of the stories about being in the Beach Boys? I'm like, no. Right? Should I? No, this guy's the worst. I don't know, maybe. Something inspired. I don't know. I don't think I should. I think the past is the past. And these stories, I don't even think anybody cares anyway. I'm looking at Twitter now. Nobody seems to want to hear any more of these. Because, I mean, I do have a couple more. But it seems like... Look, I'm just looking. Nobody's tweeted. Tell a story, Beach Boys story, Tom, about when you were in the Beach Boys. Nah. I look, and it's that point in the night when the hashtag Tom, duh, when it just becomes like war stuff ends up on it, which is always super sad because it's real life. But it just said at some point, you just every hashtag that seems to catch fire. That's what I'm looking. Okay, people want be okay. Look, I don't know, guys. When you see Dudio's on Twitter at Sonic Dork. He wrote, "Tell a Beach Boys story." I don't know. Should I? I don't know. I mean, this stuff happened so long ago. I don't even know if I remember. Can't even remember back that far. You know. I mean, it was the 67. And we were recording Smile. And, you know, it was like a magical time. back then for music and for, because we were really making a difference in what we were doing, and the memories are coming back to me as I think about it. I can remember being in the studio and
thing is,
the group will get over here. Like,
wait a minute. No, wait a second. Just move.
You changed places with Dennis.
Sit over.
All right, guys, come on. We're the Beach Boys.
I can't play the piano down here.
All right, Brian's got to get near the piano, you idiots. Look, Al. Al, get out of the way. We're trying to make smile, you dunce. Okay, here we go.
Come on, man. Don't struggle. Just do it.
Come on.
Oh, man.
First of all, I got to say this. I've not been in the Beach Boys long. You guys. You guys are so whiny. Let's just sing the song. Okay. Brian needs to sit at the piano. Get out of his way, Al. Mike and your dumb cap, slide over.
Sleep a lot, eat a lot, brush 'em like crazy. Run a lot, do a lot, never be lazy. Sleep a lot, eat a lot, brush 'em like crazy. Run a lot, do a lot, never.
Whoa, wait, what?
Put a count on it, take eight.
Yeah, let's put a count.
Hey, okay, man, let's go. Everything's cool now.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know you'd want to just come on.
No, come on, let's do
it.
Jerry's the piano still out of tune?
Come on, Dennis.
Well, I sort of think so.
Yeah, that piano sounds like trash. Trash it.
Hey, Brian. Make it, you be the judge, okay?
You be the judge.
Brian, I had an idea for a song.
One,
it would be kind
of, two,
oh, okay,
three.
Sorry.
Paul. Going, thinking about the Christmas album. I was not on the Christmas album, but it did super well. I know. Are we close?
Why don't we do?
Are we close, Jack?
Okay.
Get right on top of it.
Look, before we start this next song, it would be what? It would be an Easter song, right? Surfing.
This doesn't have to be perfect. It's got to be just kind of honest.
Surfing Bunny Rabbit. What about that?
Two.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Wait, what are we doing? Do you want me to? Hey, pretty baby. What are you doing? What are we, Sha Na Na all of a sudden? Are we that new group, Sha Na Na, that just started? You know that group that does songs from 6 years ago? Sha Na Na? Rock with me, baby. I can get into this. Oh, pretty. Come on, pretty baby, won't you rock with me, baby? How's that? Is that?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Let us know. Okay, this is the tag. Take
but
one,
Brian, think about this one, Easter song.
Two, one, two.
Ugh.
Mama, 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 mama.
Okay. No, I don't want to. Mama, 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 mama.
Part three, take ten.
Slow. Drums were a little slow.
Okay. Hey, you know what?
11.
I'm going to play on this. Is that cool? Because I...
Because we're doing, you do like worms, right? Brian? Brian? Hey. Stupid.
It's not together. It's just not happening. Come
okay.
on. Let's make it
well, look.
Happen, man. Like this. One.
Why don't I add,
two,
I'll do a little slide whistle one. On it. How about that?
Wow.
Three. And.
Yeah, your G. Now check the G again.
Okay, check the G. Is that a G?
Perfect. Okay.
Perfect.
Let's make
great.
14,
I thought it was.
That was perfect.
Thanks. Here we go.
All the way, okay?
Let's do this. We got this. One, two, three. I'm trying.
1-5.
Okay.
It's like this. 1-2.
2. 1-2-3. Wait, who's playing guitar like that? That's really stupid sounding. What? Hey! You're stealing my thing. Where am I supposed to... Okay, I'll join you. Brian? Okay. Let's try this Easter Bunny song. I'm telling you. I have an idea for this thing. It's going to be good. Because, again, the Christmas record was huge. If there's, like, surfing... Because I got to say, look. No offense. Nobody bought Pet Sounds. Nobody wants it. Everybody likes Good Vibrations. Not so into Pet Sounds. I don't know how into this they're going to be, this album. I don't even know, what are you playing now? So, okay, look. Let's just do Surfing with the Easter Bunny. After we finish this song, we'll do that. Get back at... Okay, fine. You want to Surfing with the... Well, the Easter Bunny get... No, this sucks. This is not... Brian. Oh, okay. Easter Bunny going on to the beach. Wait, what are these key changes? Can't you just do it simple like you used to? Okay, wait, what? Okay, I can get into this. Cool, cool water, cool, so cool, cool of me, cool, so cool, cool of me, cool water. Okay, here we go. Cool, so cool, 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 so cool. Cool and me, cool, cool water, cool, cool, cool. Here it is. Water. I'm gonna freestyle on this. Cool, so cool, cool and me, filling up my above ground swimming pool. Everybody knows it takes a whole lot of water. Someday I'll have an in-ground swimming pool. And I'll fill it all the way to the top. And what will that take to fill it up? It will take a whole lot of water. That was great. You like that? Cool, cool. Let's. Yeah, we'll get the balance. Cool,
so cool, cool me cool, so cool, cool me cool, so cool, cool me.
I'm gonna freestyle again. This will work for you guys.
Cool, so cool, cool me cool, so cool, cool me. I'm gonna drink some soda, and that is made with syrup. And some carbonated water.
That was great. We did it. So now, Brian, this Easter Bunny song, Surfing with the Easter Bunny, I think it'll put us back on the charts. So let's do that now, okay? Here we go. What the hell is this? Oh, my God. This. Wait. Why are you wearing a fireman helmet and no shirt? What the? Alright, this is spooky. You're legitimately scaring me. Is this. You realize you're still called the Beach Boys, right? This is. I don't know what beach this song is taking place on. It's starting to scare me, Brian. I don't think I want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. I don't think I want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys. This song's scary. It's too scary for me. It's too scary. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys. But then, I was still in the Beach Boys, in and out for a while. And then I was out around 73, but I did help Mike Love at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. One of my proud moments, helping him write his Hall of Fame induction speech, if I remember that.
Once again, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The surf's up tonight, so let's all work together to keep it up forever. Love and mercy.
Okay, Brian. That's Brian. Okay, Brian did his thing, Mike. He just did a classy speech. All right. You got the earpiece in, Mike?
I've been asked to say a few words on behalf of our beloved Dennis. He's gone. And this would have thrilled him beyond belief.
All right, that's Carl. So you're up next, Mike.
From Dennis Wilson, I thank you.
Get ready, Mike. We're going to do this. Why don't you start off, let's talk about harmony.
You heard from Cousin Brian the reason why we started making music.
Yeah, harmony.
The reason that keeps us going.
Harmony, Mike.
And it sounds corny, but you can hear it in the harmonies.
Yeah, that's nice.
Those of you who are musicians.
Mention some R&B.
The reason why people like the Beach Boys is because we love harmony. We love music and
like
we love harmony.
R&B.
And we love all people, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
When
that was
I
nice
went to
touch.
School, high school, my cousin Brian and I would jump over the fence, ditch class, we'd go surfing. Now, we couldn't surf very good, but it was a whole lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
We would listen to the music.
Mention the R&B.
R&B music at the time.
Okay.
And some of our favorite records were the doo-wop type
of
deals.
Yeah, that's good.
There you
all
go.
All right,
again,
now let's
harmony.
Wrap it up. Say goodnight to everybody.
And I think
and
it's
thank you for
wonderful to
being
be here,
here
tonight. But I also think it's sad.
Wait, what?
That there are other people who aren't here tonight. And
Dennis.
Those are the people who have passed away. Those are the obvious ones.
That's nice.
But the other not so obvious ones.
Wait, what are you doing?
Are people like Paul McCartney.
What?
Who couldn't be here tonight because he's in a lawsuit with Ringo and Yoko.
Mike, abort. Abort, Mike.
That's what he sent a telegram to.
You were off target.
Some high-priced attorney in
Mike,
this room.
Mike, wrap it up. Say thanks.
That's a bummer.
Thanks
because
for
we're
the
talking
honor.
About harmony, right?
See, yes,
in
harmony.
The world.
You've mentioned
if
the harmony
we can't
again.
Get it together in America and in England and harmony within our groups.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, believe it.
It's not about
you can believe it. The Beach Boys have their own interstitial or whatever you call it, squabbles.
Interstitial squabbles.
But that's a bummer when Ms.
Mike,
Ross can't
that's
make
not
it,
a,
you know?
It's not a word, interstitial. So let's never say interstitial again, and let's don't put down any more people who didn't show up at this thing.
About, we did
whatever
about
you do.
180 performances
okay,
last year.
Well, that's a.
I like to see the mop tops match that.
Okay. Well, they're not together anymore, Mike. The mop tops can't match that because they're not a band anymore.
I like to see Mick Jagger get out on his stage and do "I Get Around" versus Jumpin' Jack Flash.
All right.
Any day now.
That's a weird challenge, Mike. I don't know why.
Now a lot of people are gonna go out of this room tonight thinking that Mike Love is crazy.
Yeah, they
well, they've been
yeah.
saying that for years.
Yeah, well, they're also going to say Mike Love is a whole
ain't
lot of other
nothing new
things.
About that.
Okay.
But what I'm talking
wrap
about...
Wrap it up, Mike.
...is forget this room. The United States is 6% of the population of the world. That's
what?
Why I came here tonight with Muhammad Ali.
No, you didn't.
Muhammad!
Mike, you didn't come here with
Salaam
Muhammad
Salaam alaikum.
Mike, that's not Muhammad Ali, Mike. Mike, Mike, I think that, Mike, that's Lionel Richie. That's not Muhammad Ali. What is wrong with you?
I didn't hear you say alaikum salam.
Mike, stop
it. Alaikum salam, he
right.
said it.
All right, Mike.
Okay, I don't care what anybody in this room thinks. You know when they were talking about this guy with the guitar?
Woody Guthrie?
You know, Arlo's father?
Yeah, Woody Guthrie.
Woody Guthrie, yeah. Well, I knew that.
Yeah, what?
Because my father used to sing some of those songs.
Okay.
And my mother, the Wilson, Emily Wilson.
All right, let's wrap
first
it up,
cousin
Mike.
With Brian, Carl, and the late
don't talk,
Dennis.
Don't put the room down anymore.
Group.
Whatever you do, Mike, don't put the room
when
down.
When they first came to California, they were Kansas Dust Bowl Swedes.
This is good. There's a wholesome
right?
story.
Swedish people. Who didn't have enough money to rent or buy a house. Okay. They lived in tents on
very
the beach
heartfelt.
In Huntington Beach, California
good.
When they first
now
came
say
out.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
We appreciate
and
it.
Now we're sitting in this room with all this glitterati of the Glissando.
Glitterati Glissando.
Oh. All 6% of us.
All right, Mike. You're so
and
far
we're
off
and we're fighting interstitying squabbles, you know, messing around.
Interstitying
squabbles. What I
want to
see is this whole
you said
room
it twice.
Recognize that there is one Earth here.
Oh, what are you doing, Mike?
And I want us to do something fantastic with all this talent and all this wonderful spirit and soul. And I'd like to see some people kick out the jams. And I challenge
wait, you want
the boss to get up on stage and jam.
You want Bruce Springsteen to come up and play? Oh, okay, there you go. Now you're playing your weird theremin. You want him to come up and...
I
want to
see Billy Joel, see if he can still tickle ivories. Let me see.
Mike, don't ever
I know
say
Mick Jagger won't be here tonight. He's going to have to stay in England. But I'd like to see us in the Coliseum and he in Wembley Stadium because he's always been
he's
chicken
gonna
shit
have to
get on stage with the Beach Boys.
Oh, Mike, Mike. Oh, dear sweet Mike. Dear sweet, what are you doing to me, Mike? Oh, the memories. And Brian Wilson didn't talk to me for so long after that. He was so mad at me. The next time I talked to Brian Wilson, I had to call him on a radio show. That was the last time I talked to Brian, was when I had to call him a year later when he was on WNBC promoting his album.
WNBC.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I'd like to tell you, first of all, my three favorite albums of all time, Pet Sounds, Beach Boys Love You, and the new album is outstanding.
Thank
and
you.
The question I want to ask you, I heard that you were finishing up Smile, working with the tapes.
Yeah, well, we might finish it up. It's kind of like it's a sparse little album. It doesn't have very many vocals on it, so I might have to write some songs to match the tracks.
And I have one other question. Do you have any plans for touring?
Yeah, we think maybe we might start touring around December. We don't know, though.
Oh, that'll be great. It's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Bye.
How do you feel about touring on your own without the other guys with you?
That's a good idea. I think that would be a real nice idea, as long as if I had a good show, you know.
You never did that before, went out
No, no, own. Never.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Very.
It was me and Brian and Alan
LIE still closed at exit 49 due to an overturned tractor trailer on fire. Traffic jam for 2 miles.
I remember that overturned tractor trailer.
Rubbernecking. The eastbound Cross Bronx Expressway still packed from Jerome to the Sheraton Expressway. Westbound lanes congested between the...
That was the last time. I don't want to ever be in the Beach Boys ever again. No more intercessistine squabbles. No. Please say it's a... Oh, I'm back. Oh. Oh. Mike. Studio. Studio there? What happened? I don't remember. Can you believe that was me calling Brian Wilson? That was really me. What? Yeah. Yeah, that was me. In my memories. That was my memories. There was audio of my memory. Those were the days. Hey, Mike, why don't you come in and bring Jim in. Look at that. How about that? How are you doing, Jim? Yeah, that's all. Look at Mike comes in, points at the mic for Jim. Jim's never been in this room before. Mike points at it, goes, "Yeah, that's the mic. Adjust it." Rather than setting the poor guy up. Don't worry. Well, I'll do it, Mike. Don't.
Thank you. Yeah.
Studio comes in. Studio's not happy. Oh. Jim Murphy.
That's right.
You know Mike, right? You and Mike, how long have you known each other? A while?
It's over 3 months now.
Yeah, about 3 months.
Over 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you just got to position your head.
Sure.
It's unnatural.
Got it.
Just do it. It's just, I know you want to look at... at him. He's so... I can't take my eyes off him. I can understand how...
Yeah.
You read me.
Now you... Mike, because Mike would tell me about this photographer he had met. And this, he was just telling me. Because, you know, Mike meets all sorts of people in Bayonne. And you're in Bayonne as well?
I'm in Bayonne. I sleep there.
Okay, you sleep in Bayonne.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you... But Mike was telling me, he was like, this guy has some legitimate, he was a legitimate photographer taking celebrity photos for a long time.
Yes.
And he's like, he's a very interesting guy. And so thank you for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. I was promised a Masses t-shirt. So mm-hmm.
You're promised a Masses. Well, you might have to go to apmike.bandcamp.com to get one.
Yeah.
Now you... When did you start taking pictures? You grew up in New Jersey?
I grew up in New Jersey, Bayonne.
Mm-hmm.
Went to St. Peter's Prep, and mm-hmm. I would skip school and take the PATH train and go over to NBC to meet the celebrities.
Over at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, Rockefeller Center. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So you, and like what years are we talking about that this started?
About 1980, 1981. Mm-hmm. So I've met plenty of people that, you know, aren't around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And started as a fan, kind of taught myself how to do photography this way.
Okay.
My family got tired of me taking pictures of them, but celebrities love it,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
most of them. And that's where I got my start.
So what are – I have not seen any of these pictures yet because I wanted to look at them on the air.
Yeah.
Well, who do you – like what are some of the pictures?
Well
– And where can people see these anywhere? Where can people see these?
No, they can't see them because I didn't take them as to sell. They weren't. That wasn't the intention. The intention
okay.
was photography.
Sure.
You know, and I thought about being a paparazzi, but it just I wasn't that obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, I was a fan of these people, so I wanted to photograph them. You know, not just shoot them. I wanted mm-hmm. to photograph them. So,
sure.
I'm putting a book together. There's some interest at Simon & Schuster, which means they haven't sent me a rejection notice yet. But
yeah. You're still in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard enough to put this together. I peeled my wall off. But, I mean, here's a basic beginning. This is
all right, let me,
well, this is great for radio.
Yes. I want to commend Mike on this outstanding radio segment.
I'm thinking ahead. We're gonna photograph some of the ones that we discussed and put them up on Twitter.
Okay.
So people can see.
No, that's yeah. I figured there would be some sort of.
Yeah. No, I.
So we have Robert Redford here.
Yeah.
Coming out of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Right, right, yeah. And if you notice in the background, all the photographers are lined up on that side.
Yes.
So I decided what I was going to do was stand on the other side.
Okay.
So as soon as he came out, he looked right at them, turned right towards
right
me.
Right toward you. Yeah.
And I got the shot. And it was only like a half a second. And I think that's part of the reason I love the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Plus, he's not the friendliest of people. So I kind of like difficult, grumpy people.
Yeah.
He's one
of them. Well, that might be the Bayonne, in you.
It definitely is. Definitely
because Bayonne is no stranger to famous people.
Oh, no.
Whether it's, because Mike has told me about George R.R. Martin, the guy who wrote Game of Thrones was from Bayonne. Mm-hmm. There was Doris.
Doris Day.
Doris Day.
No, Sandra Dee.
Sandra Dee. Yeah. Sandra Dee is from Bayonne.
Yeah.
Then there was somebody from an Effordent commercial, I guess, that Mike's always bragging about.
It might have been Martha Ray. I'm not sure.
Who is it, Mike?
Polygrip.
From a Polygrip commercial.
Charlie, the guy, he pretends to play a doctor.
I was close.
So Charlie from the Polygrip commercial. Yeah. And then there was War of the Worlds was filmed in Bayonne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We also had Frank Langella and Mark Scherer from SWAT.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the big names. Yeah.
And Mike now is one of the
and
names.
And Mike, yes. apmike.bandcamp.something. Yeah.
Just to, you know, to as a little side note to that, how famous I am, I was talking to a customer today, and I told him I was involved with a comedy podcast, and they laughed in my face. And they literally say, wait, you're funny? Well, do some jokes for me. They wanted me to perform.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, as if it's vaudeville. Yeah.
That's the usual reaction I get when I mention I'm part of a comedy podcast. Well,
what were you supposed to do? The Susquehanna Hat Company?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
So what other photos do you have there?
This is Jim? Mr. Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, not particularly.
No.
Friendly.
He looks this. I'm telling you, if you saw this guy, he looks, he's literally like Dirty Harry right now in like a cop suit. Like, you're going to get decked by him. So
that was pretty much the thing.
So he's, so when you're taking pictures of these people, you started in the early 80s and so you're a kid at this point.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So they,
15.
So they see a kid doing it. They realize you're not some professional paparazzi.
Well, also back then there was no such thing as TMZ. There was there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
There were maybe five of us.
Okay.
Now there's about 1,500 photographers.
Sure.
Autograph guys.
And it's devalued the whole process because everybody has a phone that can take a picture.
Right.
So the pictures have to be, it just can't be someone walking down the street. It just has to, there has to be some sort of spectacle, I guess, attached to it for it to have some, like the value that those photos used to have.
It definitely has minimized the value, but there was never really a big value on pictures. You had to get something that nobody else had.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, 500 guys or let's say 25 guys to be realistic behind you, there's not much of an exclusive. So I would always try to get the picture rather than just, you know.
So who else do you have? Who else do you have?
Didn't you have a good story about Clint Eastwood in a car?
Well, yeah. When I took that picture, I always ask, and if they say no, I don't do it. So I said, you know, can I take one picture? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah. So he gets in the car, he was standing there, and I took another one, and then took another, and he's just standing there posing. Mm-hmm. So I took about five shots. He gets in the car and drives away. Then the car backs up, and he rolls the window down. And he goes, you sure you just wanted one? And he starts laughing like a maniac. And, I mean, if you thought the picture was scary, you should see Clint Eastwood laughing.
Yeah.
That's
growling at you from a car.
I'm getting a little scared now, remembering.
Yeah. I think you could take him now.
Sadly enough.
This is great. This is David Letterman.
At the backstage door at the Ed Sullivan Theater, Dave, another grumpy guy.
Yeah.
Really doesn't come out much. And
this is such a nice picture. It's a photo of him half kind of sticking his head out of the theater door. And that's a fantastic.
Yeah, the guys at Letterman actually wanted to buy this because they said, "Wow, you really got him."
Yeah, that's one of those pictures that kind of embodies.
This is one of the 15-year-old pictures.
Wow.
Yeah.
John Belushi.
Yes.
And where did you get this picture?
This was at NBC. He did a special for Steve Martin.
Okay.
And him and Aykroyd had done. They just did the Blues Brothers and had left. NBC,
SNL.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a really great picture.
Yeah. A little bit more modern.
And this is just so you know, we have Jim Murphy here, who's a Bayonne-based photographer who's been taking celebrity photos for 30 plus years now.
Yeah, I would consider myself a fake paparazzi.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you I guess go to your Twitter, Mike.
For the Best Show.
Sure, we can do it from the Best Show account, which is Best Show for Life.
Yeah,
on Twitter, that we can put a few of these up so people can see. Here's Britney Spears. What is this? One of the concerts?
Yeah, the Today Show used to do concerts, and if you could stand in line for 6 hours and not have to go to the bathroom, you could actually get a very nice picture.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
Yeah, with her hair and.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Cagney.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
James Cagney here, this is toward the end of his life, obviously, with what's the story with this picture?
Well, the story is, that's Baryshnikov holding him. He was filming Ragtime, and he was very old, and he got out of the car, and he had a walker, and he had glasses on, and the guy that was with him said, "Don't bother Mr. Cagney, he's very fragile and stuff." And we said we just wanted to take a picture. So Cagney, with the walker, like pushed the guy, says, "Get out of here. They're my fans." And he goes, "You ready, kid?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "On three." So he took his glasses off, and he pushed the wheeler out of the way. Mm-hmm. And 1, 2, 3, I took the picture. He said, "You get it?" I said, "Yeah." And he, like, collapsed. And then the guy caught him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad, but...
It's a great picture.
Yeah. Yeah, this is... Mr. Benicio del Toro.
Wow.
In the snow.
Yeah, all these people, you go for all the intense people.
Yeah. I go for people that interest me.
Yeah.
It's not just because they're famous, it's because I like them.
Wow, yeah, these are...
Like my friend here, Mr. Woody Allen.
Yeah, this is a great picture of Woody Allen.
Yeah.
You got all the... And they're, what is that one?
That's his autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is, these are great.
Yeah, he does a show every Monday night at the Carlisle.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's with his jazz thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's still doing it?
Well,
Michael.
As far as I know, I haven't talked to him in a long time. So.
Okay, so here's Letterman.
Letterman outside the Letterman show on a Friday, when they don't do shows on Friday. But it was interesting because I used to go to the NBC studio, and I've never seen him. You know, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in New York all the time. I never saw him. And I happened to catch him just coming out. Again, not the friendliest guy, okay.
That's wild. That's a really, because that's like the other side of him.
Yeah.
The two pictures kind of add up to him.
Well, it's funny you say that because it seems like him, he has a persona.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see him in normal life, he's just regular, quiet. And Pacino does the same thing. When he comes out of a backstage, you see him walking. And then when he gets to where the crowd is, he puts on this big smile like, "Hey, how's it going?" Yeah. And you can tell it's like he's doing a character.
Sure.
And he can only do it for so long.
Yeah, and then once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
So who's the roughest person you ever dealt with?
Well, everybody always says Sean Penn. I like Sean Penn because even before he was famous, he wasn't particularly friendly and hated being photographed. So when he became famous, I met him. He did a play right before his first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, not that friendly, didn't want to be photographed, but he was always that way. But I actually got to talk to him one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Mayflower Hotel, and there was a lot of people that stayed there. You just stand there, and people come walking in and out. And he saw the camera, he starts freaking out. And I said, listen, I'm not a paparazzi guy. If you don't want me to take the picture, I'm not going to take it. He kind of didn't believe me, so I took the flash off and put the lens cap on.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, like, became a person and talked to me and said, thank you very much, and mm-hmm. so forth. And I saw him about 2 weeks later, and I can't say for sure that he recognized me, but he didn't hide his face when I picked the camera
okay.
up.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of took to this. Oh, look, he's paying me back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's true or not.
For at least, yeah.
Yeah. Here's another lady that does not particularly like to be photographed. But
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was at a play, and she came out of a side door. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things are just like you literally have less than a second or two mm-hmm. seconds and – like Henri Cartier-Bresson says, the precise moment, if it's out of focus, take it anyway. That's the picture.
Yeah, and then you just
yeah.
what you got is the moment.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great picture of
Darryl Strawberry. First day in the major leagues, my friend went to Jersey City State College, mm-hmm. so we pretended we worked for the newspaper.
uh-huh.
And we got fake passes to go onto the field.
So was that like 84?
Maybe 82, 83.
83 yeah.
yeah. So I had a little tiny box camera.
Okay.
And I'm pretending that I'm press.
Yeah.
And I have Topps baseball cards in my pocket. I'm going, could you sign this?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah that didn't last long.
Now when the press no. pull out baseball cards looking for autographs.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Okay. Here's Jennifer Lopez.
That's kind of the idea of what the backstage door was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, there's 100 photographers, 100
sure.
autograph guys.
Just that swarm of people
yeah.
pouring
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
and then
right,
it's,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that Natasha Kinski photo handy? That was an interesting story.
Whether it's handy or not, I don't know. Okay. I'll go to this one, and then as
okay.
we talk, I'll flip through it. It's in here somewhere.
Yeah, that's a great John Travolta picture. When is this from?
Now, this was on the set of the sequel to Saturday Night Fever, Stayin' Alive.
Sure.
And
which Mike likes better than Saturday Night Fever.
Well, Mike has very, very good taste. If you really like... schlocky movies. That yeah. one down on the bottom is also from there.
Yeah, so there's Stallone who directed.
Who directed it, yeah.
yeah.
And Stallone's bodyguard took a liking to me, and he told me at the hotel, hey, kid, you want some good pictures? Go to the Times Square the next morning at 7 in the morning. So I had mm-hmm. to take the 5 a.m. 99S bus in.
Wow. That's so it's the two of them.
Yeah.
Going down, I guess, getting ready to
yeah.
film. That's wild. These are some great. You have David Lee Roth.
Mm-hmm.
There's Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas.
Uh-huh. This was they did a TV movie. Mm-hmm. So they had a press
mm-hmm.
party somewhere at Visage's, I think. And okay. we just happened to be walking by. So we walked in like we were press. And mm-hmm. I was into the Don Johnson wearing the stupid jacket with the thing and everything.
Yeah, yeah, the Miami,
yeah.
whole Miami Vice look.
So I didn't intend on meeting him that day, and mm-hmm. one of the people in the audience asked a question, like, what do you think of people that dress like you? And, oh, there's the Natasha. And they made mm-hmm. very much fun of me.
Oh, that's a great picture. This is a great picture of Nastassja Kinski.
Yeah. Now, the story with that is she was doing a movie on 33rd Street across from B&H, and she was filming and did not want to be photographed too.
Mm-hmm.
But there was two trucks, and there was about this much space. I guess that's a mm-hmm. foot. And so I pointed my zoom lens between the two, and she peered in and looked at me, and it just clicked like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody was like, "There's no way you got that picture."
Yeah.
And you know, at that time, you had to wait and get your picture developed and then mm-hmm. see if you got mm-hmm. it. And I got it.
That's great. I mean, these are really great pictures, and they capture a certain era of New York City.
Right.
Of just famous people in New York. So there's Mick Jagger.
Yeah, who didn't believe me that mm-hmm. I took the picture. I mm-hmm. snuck into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was it. Well, I didn't sneak
great.
In.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali got me in.
Okay.
Because he went to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of walked with him. And
okay.
then when we got to the entrance, I said, oh, I can't go in. He goes, oh, come on, kid, you're with me. And he walked me in. And then
wow.
I just, yeah, so this was one of the pictures when they, at the end, do the
mm-hmm.
big thing.
The big song, yeah, the big concert
yeah.
or whatever. The...
So this is actually a mistake because the flash and the camera didn't sync,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of creates a blur there.
Yeah.
And he loved the picture. He didn't want to give it back to me. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, first he didn't believe that I took it, then he wouldn't give it back to me.
Now, we have Jim Murphy's here. He's a Bayonne-based photographer. He's been taking pictures for over 30 years of
celebrities, and is this somebody that Mike knows? In the where is this? Do you know each other from masses?
No, there's maybe five seats at masses. I can never get
you
in.
Can't get one of them. Yeah. You don't have any pull.
It's tough to get in. Yeah. Reservations only.
I go to the other place, H&H's, but he never mentions them.
Yeah. Okay.
It's I've got a new bartending gig. Apparently, the publishing world's done with me, but bartending seems to be something I'm flourishing at.
Well, look. Mike,
do you have Greg Luzinski size for the T-shirt?
You're not done.
I do. You're not done yet, Mike.
You're not done. Mike's not done. Mike, you're not done. You're still in it.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I would consider my first paparazzi picture.
This is Alan Alda.
Alan Alda in Times Square. And like you said, it's a picture of New York more than Alan Alda.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's got the Electric Horseman. That was that Robert Redford movie.
Yeah.
On a marquee in the back. So what is this, like 1980 then?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, that was kind of my first.
It is a great picture.
Yeah.
And these pictures, we'll put some of these up on the Twitter account for the show, Best Show for Life. So you can see some of Jim's pictures because they really are, a good, look, we're not that stupid that we're going to do a thing where we just talk about pictures that we looked at on the radio and then nobody can ever see them except for me.
Theater of the mind, right?
Yeah. These are great. You have Michael Jackson in a limo.
Yes.
So how'd you get that one?
Well, that was another tough one. That was the night he did the moonwalk and Brooke Shields was his date. He was staying at the Helmsley Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So they would not bring him out the front door. They would bring him through the garage. But they leave the garage door open. So if you knew he was coming out that way, you could run into the garage and approach him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to, the window, the limo was open, and I stuck the camera in, and, you know, I took that picture, and he was like, he's kind of saying hi there. It's hard to see. And then I started moving like I was on an escalator, and the car drove away, and it was a very weird motion thing. And I looked up, and there was a huge African-American gentleman holding me and moving me physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just picked me up and moved me. And he said, don't do that again.
And here's Prince. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a tough one, too. That was a Good Morning America concert. And when he did the rehearsal, he put up a black curtain so you couldn't watch him.
Mm-hmm.
This more in the middle.
Okay.
And I used to do security at nightclubs, too. He came to our nightclub and he came to the back door, and the security was like, oh, I have to let this Prince in. And I go, nobody comes through the back door. I'm sorry. And then they open the door, and I go, oh, it's that Prince. Yeah, he can come in. He kind of chuckled. Somebody asked for a picture with him, and they were fired. So he was like, he's one of the people that they considered impossible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got it.
I did.
You got it. And here's a great picture of Muhammad Ali. Here's the Sean. Is this the Sean Penn
picture? That's the picture.
Yeah. That's like, that is the embodiment of young Sean Penn. And there's Sammy Davis Jr. Is that Alta Vis?
Yes, it is.
Is with?
And that's the Al Pacino doing his Al Pacino public persona character.
The guy who, before he ducks away from you.
Yeah. One of my idols, Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, another guy was not particularly. I mean, I can never say that they're nasty because everybody has their time and their place, and a lot of them, if you don't meet them at a public setting, they have no obligation to be nice or even talk to you.
Yeah. So. Well, but you are definitely pulling great photos out of people, maybe because you are just. It's clear you're not in it for you were not in it to just be a paparazzi
That's
and you're
exactly
just
right.
You're bothering these people every day and yeah we'll put some of these up on the Twitter account and people can check them out.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you should get a book together. These are great pictures.
I'm working on it. I'm in the process. You know, I consider that like not grunt work, but that's something that somebody can do on a computer. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I can take a picture, but how to fork out a Twitter thing or a computer thing, I don't
know. Well, we'll get it. We'll get some of these up, and we'll get – look, I'll say this. Mike's a producer on the show. You'd think some of these would have been pre-ready to go up. Not the case. It's perfectly fine. I guess that's I guess that's the producing we're doing now.
You know, I'm coordinating these things in a bar. Mm-hmm. You know, there's alcoholic drinks involved, so yeah.
I just drink water.
Things slide. Things tend to slide.
Things slide, and it slides on me, Mike. It slides. If I was to slide the way you're sliding, I would get your apmike.bandcamp.com wrong.
Yeah.
Then nobody could go there and buy a Masses shirt.
Uh-huh.
God knows how many of these things you're selling that site.
I have to make an announcement. I am sold out on Medium right now, so temporarily out.
And you know what this means. The next thing I'm going to get, Tom, I need more mediums. So I would say this. You can still order a medium. It'll just take a couple more weeks to come to you. But we'll make more of them.
Just a heads up. Customer service. I always want to be, on top of fulfillment.
Yeah, that's what he's up on top of. He's not, in terms of getting these pictures ready to go, to drop them live on the air. Now then it's the bar, then it's the drinks, then it's the thing.
Well, I didn't know what particular pictures would catch your fancy.
All right, Mike. All right. You're off the hook. Oh. See, this is the routine. Now I get the I get the Fredo routine all of a sudden. Now he's Fredo. He slides from Corleone to Corleone. One minute he's Michael telling me how it is. Next minute, it's not going his way. He starts doing the Fredo routine.
Uh-huh.
I tell you. Yeah.
I always felt bad for Fredo. You know, he's just trying to entertain his guests down in Cuba. I mean, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, Jim, where can people get in touch with you? Do you have a photography... Do you do other? Are you for hire as a photographer also?
Yeah, I do. I used to do weddings. I used to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
We all used to do a lot of things. that's how it goes for everybody.
I don't really do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Actually, yesterday I did my first paparazzi stuff in maybe 10 years.
Okay,
a girl named Stana Kotick from Castle on ABC.
Okay,
they don't need a plug because they canceled them.
Yeah,
but she happens to be very attractive and pretty good actress.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted a picture of her for maybe 8-10 years. Anybody in H&H's would know. I would moan when she came on TV.
So. Okay, you'd moan when... Yeah. Here we go. Here's now the pieces are clicking together on this, why you and Mike hit it off.
I would keep
like
both hands
like
on the bar as I did it.
Like a house on fire.
Yeah.
I'd moan when the... You might want to see what you can do about that moaning in public, Jim.
Well, she did a one-day play yesterday, mm-hmm. so I went back into my thing, and I got a picture of her going in.
Oh, that's a fun picture.
Yeah. And as soon as I got this, I said... I think I'm done. I think this is my cue to get out of photography.
That might be that one might mean the game is passing you by when it's somebody with both arms up as if they're being mugged.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but that's. I'm sure it must just be such a different climate now for celebrities.
Yeah.
They're getting bombarded with this every second.
You're right.
And they just don't want to get, because it used to, you could see someone's camera before.
Right.
In the past, you saw they'd have a camera around their neck or they had mm-hmm. a camera in their hands. Now people just have to pull that cell phone or they're talking on the phone and they just turn it into a camera.
Yeah.
So it's a different climate, so it's understandable.
I understand it completely.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's out there. You got these guys with clipboards and 20 stills mm-hmm. they want to get signed, and they go on to eBay.
Yeah.
But you were saying that I probably get my pictures because I'm nice and mm-hmm. polite. Mm-hmm. And I did wait 5 hours to get that first picture.
Okay.
Waited another two.
Well, that's
to get that.
Okay. That's a little better.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
sure. Well, that's a happy ending for the story. Then.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It would be different if that was the first picture and the other one was the second picture.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to hear that story. But I'm glad that's the way it went.
Yeah.
So Jim, is there a place? Do you have a Do you want people to get in touch with you, or are you just?
I think he's got such great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, he's not like really Mr. Tech guy.
Sure.
I think the ideal place would be a blog, and maybe one of the listeners might get in touch with me, and I can put them in touch with Jim to maybe create a blog.
Sure.
And you can
all right.
Everybody can see these photos because they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
What's the actress from the Sopranos?
Annabella Sciorra.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, she's another one. I had a picture of her that I took at the 6 Feet Under premiere. And so she did a play, I can't say the name of it, with Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a gentleman with a hat.
Yeah, with a hat.
And I had the picture backstage, and she saw it, and she took it from me.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, she didn't believe I took it. And then she really wasn't going to give it back to me. She said, I love this picture. It's the best picture ever. She showed it to Bobby Cannavale, and then they're pointing at me. And the whole time I'm like, I just want my picture back.
Yeah, yeah.
So she came over and she said, you know, I'll sign it, but you have to promise that you'll get me a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I swore to her that I would do it. And I made good on my promise. I made a copy, and I went to the theater following Sunday to give it to her, and the play closed.
You missed it.
So if she's listening,
all right.
Get in touch with Mike. And
get in touch with Mike.
AP Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my MySpace, but I don't keep up. I don't think
Annabella Sciorra orders a masses t-shirt. I'll jump off the roof.
She can leave a note in the comments section.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. I appreciate you coming in and showing these pictures. These are really special, and hopefully they can get out there and people can see them. Because, again, they really do capture a certain it's the time as much as the people.
Yeah.
So we'll start putting some pictures up on the Twitter, and people can see them in all their glory. And then who knows, you get a book going and you get AP Mike to, you just got to give him a taste.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
That's it.
That's all he wants is a taste.
Just listeners, be nice. Don't copy them.
I'll write the foreword.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forward by AP Mike.
It'll be a plug.
It all began in a bar.
Yeah.
When Jim began moaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's Mike's story. Castle was on.
What's with the guy down the bar moaning?
One guy at the one end won't talk.
What's his deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Jim Murphy, for coming in. And people check out the Best Show Twitter account, and you'll see some of his pictures. Thanks for coming in. I'm going to go back to the phones for a little bit. Then we'll do the half hour power, right?
Okay.
Are you good with that, Mike?
Sure.
Yeah. You good, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good?
Good.
I'm not going to hear you moan about this. I did something wrong. God knows what I do wrong.
No, I'm the moaner.
Oh, that's right. You're the moaner. Oh. Please, whatever you do, don't put Castle on out there. Best Show.
Hey, Tom, it's Jess from Australia. How are you?
Jess from Hello? Australia. How are you, Jess?
Yeah, but I'm in Ecuador at the moment, so I'm not exactly in Australia.
What brought you to Ecuador?
I'm in the Galapagos Islands. Swimming, I guess, holiday.
So you just
I'm so excited, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You just wanted a vacation.
Yeah, and are we doing that dumb stories?
We most certainly are.
Okay, well, this is a dumb one, and it's from today. I wanted to listen to The Best Show live, but I forgot that in Ecuador, the time is different. So is this the end of the show nearly?
We're down the home stretch here.
Yeah, I was going to listen to it live because in Melbourne, in Australia, I have to work, so I can't listen to it live. And this is my only chance, and I blew it. I'm sorry.
Well, look, it's not going anywhere. You can listen to it as a podcast tomorrow.
Yes, I know, and I've been catching up with The Best Show all the time, and I have to say, this is my favorite show, and I'm so psyched I'm on. I was actually on in 2012 as well, but I think I was telling a dumb story, so I got, like, cut off.
No, I didn't hang up on you. I hung up on you?
So how's your... Oh, I don't think you hung up. It just went flat.
Okay.
And it may have been connection.
I got to just say.
But you were really nice.
If it just went flat, that means I probably hung up on you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It happened.
No, I. But you sound surprised.
You were probably probably calling up and talking too much about Gary Beers and Peter Garrett and all the things everyone from Australia talks about. Yahoo Sirius and who else were you talking about? Kylie Minogue. And I just couldn't take it. Who do you like better, Kylie Minogue or Danny Minogue?
My sister likes Danny, so I have to like Kylie then.
Yeah. Well, you're right anyway, though.
Yeah.
Kylie Minogue's better than Danny.
No, but, what?
Kylie Minogue's better than Danny Minogue.
Yeah, but I think, Danny Minogue's more relatable, because, you know.
Yeah, but
older sister sibling rivalry. Yeah.
But what, are you going to hang out with either of them? No. So go for the better one. No. Kylie Minogue.
Whatever you say, Tom, whatever you say. Oh, I have another thing as well.
Okay,
Last week when you were talking about the Beach Boys, that was so funny. I was laughing in the bus and someone thought I was crying. So,
so
there's one for you, Tom.
I'll take that. That, to me, that's the best thing I can hear is that people were laughing at the show, because I do the show, and sometimes I come out, and I'm just like, what did you guys think of the show? And then Pat Byrne will go like, and he'll be like, yeah. He'll go, yeah. I'll go, yeah, that's it? And then Duty will be like, Duty will say, like, you want some feedback? Like, you want notes? I'll be like, notes. And then Mike is already just like half out the door. So I don't even know. These guys make me think the show's not funny. So it's nice to hear that you thought it was funny.
I think it's hilarious every week. Well, every week.
Thank you.
And you're the only podcast that I'm up to date with. I've got like 20 podcasts that I'm not up to date with, but with you, Tom.
Like, which ones are you not up to date? Which other podcasts do you listen to?
Okay, well, I listen to WTF, and
yes.
I swear I've got like five that I haven't listened to.
Okay, that's not
Bang Bang,
but that's not bad for them. Five of WTFs behind. That's not bad. You can knock that out pretty quick.
Comedy Bang Bang.
Sure,
I'm not up to date with that anymore.
Okay,
The Dollop. Ugh.
The Dollop, you're not up to
date. Only you, Tom.
Which one is The Dollop now? What is that? What's that? The David Gregory? Is that who says The Dollop?
I'm not really sure. It's like two guys, and they talk about American history.
Oh, wait a minute. It's that podcast with two guys? Oh, that one. Oh, that podcast where two guys talk? Oh,
yeah.
These podcasts.
So it's only you and I don't know. That's it.
Well, thank you.
And yours is a 3-hour podcast too. So
I know. I'm here every.
Intense.
I'm here doing it. I know it's 3 hours. It's hard to do it. It's long. It's exhausting.
And I even love the Hour of Power as well.
Well, thank you.
I love it.
Thank you, Jess. And I'm looking on Twitter, and people like you calling in. People, I like Jess from Australia, swimming in the Galapagos Islands must be nice.
It was. I swam with the turtle today, so it was really cool. It's a cool day.
With the turtle, the actor turtle. You didn't swim.
You didn't swim with
Jerry Ferrara.
No.
What if that was available in the Galapagos Islands? You go down, it's just like, we got two things. You could swim with turtles, or you can swim with turtle. And it's him dressed as turtle, and he climbs into the ocean with you, and you're just like, yeah, I think I might go back for one of the other turtles. Are there other turtles? I think I'm over the novelty of this. Of swimming with Jerry Ferrara.
Yeah, that would be really, that will go sour pretty quick. Yeah. So I swam with a real turtle.
Good.
So that was cool. But this is the highlight, man. This is the highlight of the trip.
All right, Jess. You are the highlight of this show for calling.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
No, you have a great night. Enjoy your fancy vacation and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. And thank you for picking up the phone on me.
Of course. You have a great night. Bye. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
You are speaking to Nate from Sacramento.
Nate from Sacramento. Sacramento.
California.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. I know some people call and say Portland and they don't identify.
Who is your favorite member of the Sacramento Kings?
I'm going to have to go a little bit further back. It's no one current. It would probably be
No one current? I don't know who that is. What position did no one current play?
He played not on the team at the moment.
Okay, who is your favorite player then of all time?
I think Mike Bibby.
Mike Bibby, that was a good era.
It really was. And team. I went to Arizona back in the day, so.
Oh, that team was so much fun. Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and Jason Williams. Remember Jason Williams?
I do.
Vlade Divac.
That's who I was going to bring up, little Vlade.
And Doug Christie. That was
and Stojakovic. I can never say
Paige
his name.
Paige Stojakovic. That was a fun. And they didn't win. They didn't win. They got robbed.
Is that like a shared opinion outside of Sacramento?
Oh,
because
yes.
We always felt that way.
No, that is a shared opinion. Don't worry. America is with Sacramento on that thievery that happened.
Yeah, Robert Horry really did hurt us there.
Yep. America's with you. Don't worry. We recognize Sacramento as the Western Conference champions that year.
Not just cowbells and everything like that in the valley here?
No. Not just cowbells. Nice. So what's going on tonight?
I just wanted to do a quick call, if I can, for two things. One is to thank you for the last couple of years. I'm somewhat of a new listener, and it's been really nice to have a podcast, or I know it's a radio show, but I listen to it via podcast most often.
You call it whatever you want to call it.
One that kind of takes me away from, I heard you for the first time on another podcast that I listen to daily, and it's political. And that one is so, it can be serious and sad sometimes. And
what is that?
You bring like a bright spot.
What is that? Sam Cedar?
It is.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. Sam's a good guy.
And I heard that he got his start on your show.
The first episode of The Majority Report was a sub show within The Best Show a long, long time ago.
And you guys have similar humor, and it's been really, really nice over the last couple of years. So thank you, sir.
You're welcome. That's very nice of you to say.
Have a great night.
You have a greater night.
Good
night. I want to tell you all, you guys know Hatch, Robert Hatch Miller, and Paloma Basu. You know them. They made the Syl Johnson movie, Anyway the Wind Blows, such a great movie, documentary about the singer Syl Johnson. And if you are in Northampton, Mass, this Friday, it's going to be at the Northampton Film Festival. Anyway the Wind Blows, screening on Friday at 9 p.m. at the Parlor Room in Northampton, Massachusetts. And Rob and Paloma will be there for a Q&A. And you can get ticket info at northamptonfilmfestival.com. It's a really great movie. I had a very minor role with it. It's there. But they made a great movie. I watched them make a great movie.
And if you're in Northampton, go see it in the theater and ask Rob and Paloma questions. And I still got these Goner Fest tickets sitting on the table. So for that guy, Kevin from Austin is in the lead for them. He's waiting to see if someone can swoop in. I'm telling you, these tickets, first of all, Goner Fest is this week. It's September 29th through October 2nd in Memphis. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be emceeing the Saturday night show at the, at the High Tone, right? Yeah, the High Tone. Goner Fest is my favorite rock thing to go see. And there's so many great bands are going to be there. Black Lips, Raining Sound, Spray Paint is going to be there. Kid Congo, Sick Thoughts, Blind Shake, Aquarian Blood. So many good bands. Don't miss it. The Knots. The Knots will be there. Fred and Tootie will be there from Dead Moon. Can't wait. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Matt from Astoria.
Matt from Astoria. What's up in Astoria tonight, Matt?
Nothing. Just listening to the show, doing some reading.
Sounds good, Brian.
Good night overall.
Hey, did you hear about the Gorch shirts, Matt?
I did not.
Do you know the Gorch?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
And there's these shirts that we've been selling for years over at StereoLaughs.com. And they are, we have a whole bunch of Gorch shirts in stock. And they are we're not making any more of them. So whatever, when we sell through, we sell through. When they're gone, they're gone. So
limited time only Gorch shirt.
From this point on, yes. You go get them at StereoLaughs.com.
No, thank you for telling me, Tom. I know you've been mentioning that for the last few weeks.
Yes, thank you, Matt. So what brought you to the telephone tonight?
So I had a I'm dumb story, but I don't think it's going to be Kevin's. So I had a interesting thing to talk to you about, since there's been so much Beach Boy talk recently.
I know. I've been really going back into the corners of my mind.
Yeah.
Remembering these stories.
Well, I hope that you haven't heard this before, because I'd like for you to hear this from me.
Let me see if I can guess. You're going to sing, round, round, get around, I get around, yeah. I have heard it.
Oh, well, I can hang up now then.
Now go, what were you going to do?
Do you know who Mike Love's nephew is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Oh, I'm disappointed now.
Well, who are you disappointed in? Yourself?
Myself. I thought that I feel like, I don't know. I'm not sure why I didn't think you would know that. Now I am disappointed in myself.
You ever hear the show? You ever hear me talk about basketball? What do you think? I'm not gonna figure out that a guy named Love in the NBA is also, whose father was also in the NBA, Mike Love's brother?
Yeah, this was...
Yeah, Stan Love.
Yeah, I did a very bad job.
I would have known who that was if there was no such person as Mike Love. I would have figured out Kevin Love is Stan Love's kid.
Yeah, I feel like this is my dumb thing.
You know what? It is.
Oh, man.
It happened in front of the world right now.
It did.
You know what happened? You started a joke, right?
Started the whole world laughing.
The whole world laughing. But you didn't see that the joke was on ye, right?
It was on me.
Because I can't make it me, because it was. It's not on me. It's on you.
No. Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that. Live with that for the rest of your life. Your flop, your five-star flop in front of the world. It happened. Had to happen to one of us. What is this? Is this money for you? It's an envelope.
Money for me. I like money. This isn't money. It's like a drawn. It says apmike.bandcamp.com bucks. This is one worth $1 for any purchase at apmike.bandcamp.com. Then it says at the bottom, expired. Great. He doesn't even give me it. He knows I'm going to open these envelopes when he puts them in front of me. I don't get it. I don't get it anymore. So, I guess do we end the best show? Is this it? Is this the end of the best show? No more phones ringing? If that guy Kevin from Austin is listening, I would like him to call right now. I want you to call Kevin from Austin. Call 201-332-3484. Maybe, just maybe, I will award you with these Gonerfest gold tickets. I might not, though. You got a call in 1 minute, bro. Let's see. Boomer Humor says Mike is like a feudal lord on Twitter. That's Hannah. Remember when What's-His-Face would always say that to Hannah on Girls? Hannah, what's your problem? What is your problem, Hannah? So he's mad at her. Adam. He's the new Darth Vader. What's that? Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Kevin from Austin.
All right. First of all, who said that?
Kevin from Austin?
No, in the background. Who just yelled in the background?
Oh, it was my roommate who's really excited right now.
All right, that's not helping.
Sorry about that.
Let me ask you this. You're seriously going to go... You're going to use these tickets. If I give them to you, you're going to use them.
100%.
You're seriously... How far is it to drive from Austin to Memphis?
9 hours.
You're going to do it?
Yep.
You promise me you're going to do it?
I 100% promise you, Tom.
All right. Email me, and I'll give you a pair of tickets to go to Gonerfest. This from Thursday to Sunday it goes, and it's going to be so much fun, and I'm going to be there, and it's just email me, and I'll make the connection for that.
Thank you. I am really excited right now. Thank you so much.
Look, it had to turn around for you after that disaster of a story.
Yeah, that's fair.
At least now you got some stuff going your way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is way better. Oh, my God.
Wait. Yeah, of course it's way better than that terrible story you said.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I could tell you you lost. I could say I'm not going to give you the tickets, and that's still better than that story.
Taking them back might make me feel bad, but yeah, it can't be worse than that even then.
You, Kevin, Kevin from Austin,
yep.
You get, I'm going to just read it here from Goner, a pair of tickets to the fest, everything that comes with the golden ticket deal. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah. I'll see you in Memphis.
See you there.
All right, bye. Yeah, people should turn out. Go to Gonerfest. If you're in Memphis or Tennessee, go to it. Best show.
Yeah, hey, Tom, this is Perry from Philadelphia.
Perry. Oh, I know this Perry. This is the guy from Hound.
That's me.
The hottest rock band in Philly, Hound. You tried the best. Now here's the rest, Hound. Wait, no, that's wrong. That came out. Right?
That might be right.
Do you ever say on the stage, Perry, do you ever say,
if y'all ever seeing a band play and they're just doing nothing special, you just give Hound a call and we'll come back to your town. Remember when what's his face said that, Paul Stanley?
Yeah, we usually just play the entire CD of his rants and then like half a song.
Yeah, that would be better. So what's going on, Perry from Hound?
First, I'd like to state that I'm nervous to call in. I've never called in before.
Relax.
Okay, I'm good now. Also, that I think I might have missed the ticket thing. I can't go to the Goner Fest anyway. But I have a dumb story.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I collect a lot of T-shirts. I have a huge T-shirt collection, so that kind of has everything to do with it. So a couple years ago, like 5 years ago or so, I went on tour with a friend's band in California.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew up to California, and we were headed to Vegas, which is also weird because I know not the topic was Vegas a couple weeks ago, even though everybody wanted to tell Vegas stories. So first of all, we drove past the Clown Motel, which was crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, and for some reason, I really wanted to stop in, and nobody else was interested. But anyway, so the whole time we're in Vegas, I was like, I got to go into one of these awful souvenir shops and buy a T-shirt, just because I've never been to Vegas. And we only had like 3 hours to spend in the entire place. And I have really bad anxiety around even small places like regular shows and everything. So going to Vegas was like a nightmare. So we go to the top of the Eiffel Tower building, whatever it is they have there, and we go to the show, and we spend all this time. I was like, I got to get a T-shirt before we leave. I got to get a T-shirt. So we run into this souvenir shop, and they're like, oh, well, we have this deal. You buy two, you get one free. And I was like, oh, that's great. They're these, like, really cheap-looking boardwalk-type shirts, you know, with the iron on, pick one off the wall. So I was like, well, I only really want to get this very popular novelty shirt. If you police Warner Brother with the Warner Brothers logo,
uh-huh.
I'm sure you've seen it every boardwalk ever. Probably wouldn't have bought that now. But so I was like, well, I have to get three, so I'll buy one for my friend of this some other thing he wants. And he got some stupid George Bush shirt or something. I don't know, like anti-George Bush. And I got this one with, like, a bunch of horses. I don't know. So I hand the guy my credit card, and he's like, that's something like $112. I was like, I'm getting three shirts, and it was buy two, get one free. Why is it? And at the time I worked a construction job, I was making a ton of money, and I, for some reason, without thinking, I was just like, whatever. And I handed him the credit card, and not thinking anything of it, I just spent $112 on three awful T-shirts. I don't think I even liked one of them.
Why was it that much?
Well, they're like, oh, well, you know, this is multiple colors. It's an iron-on T-shirt.
Oh,
it's one thing.
Perry.
And my friend is like, you don't have to do that. And I was so, the whole trip just gave me so much anxiety. And
you panicked.
I mean,
it freaked you out so much. Meanwhile, you should have gone for a T-shirt. There's places down on the, you had to go up to the top of the Eiffel Tower for your T-shirt. Go on the street and get them.
No. That's where I got it. After the Eiffel Tower thing, we wandered around. Those are the three things I did.
So you were down on the street and you went to the one place that sold T-shirts at exorbitant price. Oh,
this is dumb stories, right? I can't defend it. It's dumb.
Perry. Look, I love you, buddy. I love you, but this is a dumb story.
You were not
kidding when you said this is dumb. So your friend's standing there, and so, God, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I didn't mean to cut you off. He was just standing there telling me, like, you know, basically, like, you don't have to do this. Don't spend this money. I don't care. He didn't care about the free shirt he was getting. He just picked one off the wall because it was get one free.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know why I don't know why I did it now, thinking back on it. I don't know why I did it then, besides I was just like, get me out of Vegas. Like, I know we were leaving right after that. I just wanted to leave, and I was like, I wanted a shirt from Vegas. I guess this is part of the story.
Oh,
I don't know.
Perry. Live and learn, but boy, on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I have over 1,000 T-shirts now,
yeah,
and I don't spend that much money on any of them. Instead, I spent that much. It was,
oh, Perry.
And they're the cheapest shirts. I can't give them away. People are like, "What is this shirt?" And I'm like, "It's got a long story. Do you want it? You could just have it." And I'm like, "Eh, not really."
So you can't even. Oh, buddy, you're a sweet dude. Tell everybody what's going on with your band Hound. What's happening?
Well, Chris is on tour right now with Titus Andronicus.
Big Steve.
So
from Ted Leo and the he's from Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, and then
that's
he's
right.
in Hound also, and then now he's drumming with Titus Andronicus.
Yeah, we let him borrow him for a little bit. I don't know.
Who are touring with a giant dog.
Yes, yes. That was the first thing I told Chris. I was like, you got to watch the opening band. They're incredible.
I love it. So what? When Chris comes back, there'll be more Hound?
Yeah, we actually have half of an album already recorded for the next stuff. We started recording with Jay Robbins, which is like a dream. And just keep writing the rest of the songs and recording the rest of it. Late January, we scheduled time, so.
I want you to make this next record. You should definitely, you know the band Zebra? Do you know the band Zebra?
Is that like an old band?
Yeah. Who's behind the door? I want you to listen to Zebra before you do this next batch of recording and bring that, the energy of Zebra into the, because that was a power trio.
Yes. I will definitely do that. I'll send you the songs that we already have recorded.
Do.
I think you'll like them.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Right.
You take care.
You too.
Mac. Bye. So that ends the best show. We'll do the half hour power next. We'll do that right away. Half hour power, 30 minutes of unscreened phone calls. So start calling in a few minutes. The best show is over. We will be back next week. Will we? We will, I think, right? I don't know anymore. Here's a record by my friend, Neil Haggerty, and Howling Hex. It's a single that they put out. And the song is called Full Moon in Gemini. It's a part one and part two comprise this single. Let's check this out, and the best show will be back next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jim Murphy for coming by. We will talk to you all next week. Bye.